Prepare for battle.
The mark of my dignity shall scar thy DNA.
Well, this is podcast number one, 1980X. I'd like to welcome you to it. I'm Sean.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to what is hopefully the first of what we'll call regular season podcasts.
Yeah, the inaugural podcast.
Yeah. We do already have another podcast available on the site. And if you like what we're doing here today, we invite you to go back and listen to that one as well. We'd appreciate any feedback on any podcast. So I think we're going to start off normally, this podcast and ones to follow with just kind of what have you been playing in the past week?
What have you been playing?
I've really been all over the map. Ryden 4 has been in my rotation. A lot of Mass Effect because I lost my save file, so I feel compelled to get that back for the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that the promise of the your game save being involved in the second game.
Mm.
And a little bit of World at War on PS3 at your request. Mm. Mostly zombie Nazis.
Yes.
I played the single player game for about an hour and I got stuck. Literally got, not stuck like I didn't know what to do, I got stuck on a wall.
Yeah.
And glitches like that just shouldn't exist anymore. And yeah. I got so fed up I turned it off and didn't go back.
Huh.
Oh, and Trash Panic. Been playing a lot of.
So, what did you think about World at War?
World at War, the single player game, it's alright. It's a pretty standard World War II shooter. It looks really good. Like, it's a really amazing looking game. But I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing really new going on with it, I guess, other than...
And you didn't play Call of Duty 4?
I haven't. No.
I hate World at War. I rented it to try and get through the single player experience. Because I'm not good at the Call of Duty multiplayer. And... it was just, I think I got to the second level and then just quit. I just hated it so much. And I never played it again until someone brought up one day that we should try Nazi zombies. So I gave it a rent on the PS3 and me and my friend Adam were playing Nazi zombies for like 10 hours straight. And if you don't know, they only give you one map to play this extra game mode in. And for those of you who don't know what Nazi Zombies is, or you may have heard of it in other podcast mentions, but not really known exactly what it entails, it's kind of like a cross between, like I thought of it as a cross between a sort of tower defense game and Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that's really apt.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like Left 4 Dead, you don't ever, there's no progression.
No.
Physically, like geographically, there's no progression. You stay in one location, relatively.
Right. And that's the thing, you know. Originally, the game mode was made... well, I have a theory. I think it feels a lot like an old PC game mod. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it feels like something that I would have played after I downloaded it for, like, Quake 2. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Someone setting up a new version of his idea of a game.
Right.
And I'm sure somebody on their design team just at one time or another in his life made this really good game idea. And everyone recognized it as cool, so they put it in there as a little bonus. So it is a bonus. And I don't think they expected it to be as popular as it is. Or as good as it is. I mean, it's really fun. So the fact that they only have one map in there is ridiculous. It's horrible. I can't, like, the first map, the map that they give you is limited as is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really limited.
I've only played the one, too, and I watched a video of the latest one. It was the latest map pack that came out. Because every map pack, I guess, includes one new zombie level. At least all the ones that have come out.
Right, so if you're not into the multiplayer...
Yeah.
It's
you're
just
paying $9 for one map if you only play the zombie mode. The newest map looks like it really goes kind of apeshit with giving you things to do and places to go. There's like a teleporter involved and there's all this weird
new
stuff.
New weapons.
Yeah, there's all this weird stuff going on. So clearly they didn't know what they had when they just slapped it in there. It's like a add-on.
But it's a really good game. I mean, Basically, all you're trying to do is stop zombies from coming in the bombed out structure that you and a few others are holed up in. And you can basically rebuild barriers on windows. And that's pretty much all you do in the game. The weapon system is really odd. Every time you kill a zombie, it's worth a few points or credits. Every time you rebuild a barrier, or a piece of a barrier, it's worth a few credits. And basically, you just buy new weapons, or basically roll the die and go for a mystery box that, right. that shells out a weapon
yeah.
to you.
Yeah. The thing I like about that Nazi Zombies is actually, it's really well designed in that I started making assumptions about how that game works, and I found them to be right. Like, I was playing, and I wasn't really noticing how much money I was getting for killing zombies, and I thought, headshots have to be worth more
yeah.
than they are. Like, I just was like, I'm just gonna start going for headshots, and mm-hmm. they are worth more points than just regular body shots. And the only thing I'd have to lodge against it, other than not having enough maps, is the actual gameplay itself is, there's a turning point about wave 10 where the weapons that are readily available to you become utterly useless.
Yeah,
and
you
have to pray that you get really one of two weapons out of that box.
Right. Right, so there are weapons all over the level that you're in available for purchase. And I'd say, like you said, through the first 10 levels, the weapons are pretty good. The weapons that they give you readily available to purchase. They're decent. They can, you know, especially with headshots, you can pretty much take out wave after wave. But after wave 10, you pretty much have to rely on luck by going to the mystery box and dropping 950 credits on a gamble, basically, on, you know, hoping you get a good weapon. And, you know, good weapons are basically the alien ray gun.
Yeah.
And some form of deployable machine gun.
Yeah. I know it's called the Bar 20 or something. I don't know. I'm not a military.
That one's not good.
No. Oh, no. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
The two that are good both say deployable in their name. And
yeah,
I don't know their actual gun names, because I don't know anything about that either. But
the models are pretty noticeably different.
Right,
like, you know, when you have the right one.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't end up getting those weapons within the first couple levels, and you can't hold on to them through wave after wave after wave after wave, you pretty much have to turn the game off. Which kind of makes it unfun for four-player modes, because have you played with four people?
No.
I don't think, because it's never happened to me yet, I don't think two people can get the same gun. At least certain guns.
Well, I don't know. I can't buy... I know that, like, when you... You can't buy somebody else's gun. Like, someone pays the credits, the gun comes up, and it's like, I can't run up to it and also get it.
Right, but I've never seen anyone game with two players with the alien gun.
Oh, I see.
And I've never seen one game with two players with the same deployable machine gun.
I see.
That's why when I play it, I'm always one of the first people to get to that random box, hoping that I get the alien gun.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, it becomes really unfun for me in the later levels. Because, you know, the two people that end up getting the two really good guns will stick with them. And, you know, me, I'll just get my ass killed every round, and they'll revive me, and it's just unfun.
Yeah. I guess the difficulty ramps up significantly, which actually tells me that they it was a total add-in. Like, they had no intention
right.
of making it very fleshed out, because they're like, just make it balls hard at one point to where it's just impossible to maintain the status quo in that game.
I'm not very good at it, but I cannot see getting past level 30 in that first world, the one and only map they give you. On the other maps that they released that seem to be more balanced, you know, there's YouTube videos of someone getting to wave 230.
That's absurd.
That's hours.
That's hours.
Well, yeah, and there's a method that he finds out that basically makes it easy for him to do, and he could just keep going if he wanted to.
Hmm.
So, I mean, call that balanced or not.
It's almost the other way.
It's almost the other way, but at least they get more than 30 waves out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like playing local co-op better than online also for that game. It's one of those experiences, I think, that works better with a person right next to you.
Well, at the very least, we should say that we were playing it on PS3. If we were playing it on 360 with headsets, it would help a little bit.
Yeah.
Complete lack of voice chat in that game is terrible, because there's so many situations where you need to basically yell
at the other
person.
But that's our fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a headset for the PS3 because it's useless.
I don't either. Well, I do, but I don't have it because of the PS3. It's incidental that I just happen to have a USB headset.
Oh.
But I didn't even think about it until, like, yesterday. It
doesn't really matter. No one really talks on PS3 online anyway. Most people, I mean, I've played, like, a bunch of games online, and the only people that had mics ever, four people just had their mics up to their stereo and were blasting music. So every time I got near these players, I would hear their sounds. Which yeah. I actually kind of liked, and I was
it's
thinking
fine.
About doing for a while.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I don't know, that's that can spiral off into a conversation about how Xbox Live is potentially superior than PS Network.
Yeah.
Cost aside.
Right.
One's free and one's not, and it's it definitely shows it right now what one's which one's free and which one you pay for.
Yeah.
But, so, World at War. I'm all over the place with games. A lot of old games that I don't really, there's no point in bringing up right now.
Like what?
Well, like Mass Effect. Like, I don't really want to talk about Mass Effect.
I don't think anyone wants to hear about Mass Effect.
No one wants to hear about Mass Effect. I've heard my fill of that game in the last 2 weeks, especially with the sequel.
I don't even need to play it. I've listened to enough podcasts.
Too Human, I don't want to talk about Too Human on this podcast, but I will talk about Too Human when Borderlands comes out. Because I think it will be an apt game to bring up when that game is out. Too Human? No.
I haven't
played Too Human in a good week or so, but I'm really going to make an effort to sit down and get a at least beat it once this weekend. I really want to. I have to come to terms with the fact that I'm going to see that fucking Valkyrie about a million times before I'm done.
Yeah, honestly, the last level I
don't even have a... Like, this kind of ties into the way Geometry Wars is so nice. I don't even have a problem with the fact that I die a lot, because there's the penalty for dying into human is such an easy thing to overcome.
Which is what?
Your items sustain damage. But the repair costs are so low.
Right.
I just wish you could skip the fucking animation.
It takes
a minute.
I really got to the point with that game where it was probably my, like... Well, you don't really play through it in order, so, I mean, it was probably my, fifth time through the game, just trying to level up. I really came to the, conclusion that those designers put that Valkyrie sequence in there as the punishment for dying.
You're going to do it that way.
I don't even think...
But when it happens so often, it's really bad.
Because you cannot... I'm sorry. You know, like, Dennis Dyack showed that he's kind of a goofball on some podcasts before. Mm-hmm. But you cannot suggest to me that playtesters weren't complaining about those death sequences. I mean,
right.
There has to have been some sort of method behind that madness. You know, someone up in... God, what's their name? Silicon Knights. Someone
right.
up in, you know, the high ups there was probably like, nope, we're leaving the Valkyrie in.
It's probably Dyack.
Honestly, it was probably Dyack. Because
yeah.
There's really no other punishment for the game. Like you said, the damage is negligible to your weapons and gear. You can repair anything really quickly.
The penalty is time. It's just time lost.
It's just time.
And then it'll sometimes sit you back X amount of, like, you know, a long distance from the battle you were in.
Yeah.
So then you have that trudge back to it.
That's why that fourth level is so hard. Have you played through the fourth level yet, at least a little bit?
No.
You think you've died a lot so far? I don't even... I must have played that game for that last level for 5 hours, and an hour out of that time was just that...
Watching that thing happen.
Because they throw enemies at you that you can't deal with at that point.
Yeah. I'll talk about it. I do kind of want to talk about it, and specifically in reference to Borderlands, because I think those games have a lot in common.
But it has to be said, I really love Too Human. It's probably one of my favorite games in the past year. For sure. Most definitely.
It's a game I want to like. I do.
No,
and I'm gonna give it every... I don't hate it. I just... That right there is a really bad sticking point for me. But other than that, in terms of newer games, newer releases would be Raiden 4, something I've been playing.
Right.
I have not logged a lot of time into, but I've seen marketing... I'm not very good at shooters, shmups. To begin with, and it's only because it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like I get in, I don't do well, and I'm like, well, I'm terrible, so I won't play. But I've already noticed with the time I've put into Raiden 4, I've already seen improvement in my scores. So just that little bit of like, you're already getting better. Well, I'm gonna play it more.
Maybe that's because it's different.
That, and I like the fact that I'm able to watch the top score replay. Like I watched that guy's replay, the first two levels.
Yeah.
Of him, of the top Xbox 360 scorer.
Yeah.
And just watching the way he plays,
yeah,
like I've already taken away so much net that I know I'll. You know, I don't want to watch his whole run because I don't want to spoil.
Yeah,
how that game goes.
I'm really torn about that. I'm really torn about the whole replay thing because For me, I guess the big part of shmups is that you get to learn how to defeat the game.
They're like a puzzle. Because you have to memorize where enemies are.
Yeah, and I mean, there's multiple ways to take down these games. Don't get me wrong, there's not just one way that you need to solve, but, you know, when you see someone solve it a certain way, to me it just spoils it a little bit.
Which is why I only watched the first two just to see, like, I guess you could boil down to his philosophy.
Right.
To how he approached the game.
Which is what?
Well, I know, I mean, I'm making better use of the fact that certain weapons in that game are better for certain stages. Certain bosses have really easy to exploit blind spots.
Wait, for those who don't know, I can't imagine you listening to this podcast if you don't know, but Raiden 4 is a shmup.
Yeah.
We've kind of like,
I guess we should clarify Raiden 4 is a shmup in the classic top down spaceship flying over a landscape shooting enemies on screen.
Right, the sequel to the pretty popular Raiden series. It's the most recent sequel. About 3 years old now, Xbox Live port, it's really good, just came out, it's $40 if you can find it. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just, every boss sort of has a blind spot area where you can not comfortably sit, but an ideal place for your ship to be relatively close to through the bullet patterns as the boss changes forms and things like that.
Have you gotten to later stages?
I completed the first wave, I completed the next four stages of the second and final wave. I haven't beaten the game.
I could be talking out my ass here, because I don't know that much about shmups. I'm not as good as I'd like to be, but I'm pretty good at these games. But the second loop, the reason I like this game is because it's like a hybrid to me. It's like a hybrid between a bullet hell game, like, you know, Caves, or an old Raiden game, which is really just about fast moving bullets that you just have to be ready for.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the bullet patterns end up being cave like, especially in later stages.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not typical to the Raiden series.
No.
Like, the Raiden series is usually just about exploding flowers and bullets. You know, a single trajectory.
A lot of cave shooters have that really sort of beautiful flower petal spiraling bullet thing going on.
And a lot of the bosses in this game have that. So what happened was, when I was playing it and I started seeing these enemies that had these patterns, I tried to play it like a cave shmup. And I play cave shmups by basically sweeping left to right, learning the patterns obviously, but basically sweeping left to right as the stage progresses. And I tried doing that with Raiden and I wasn't getting very far, and then I learned that you really can't sweep or make big motions in this game. You can pretty much survive most of the game by sticking, you know, to the very back of the screen, and moving in very small increments, because the enemy's bullets actually, they're all homing.
Your hitbox in the game is ridiculously small.
Your hitbox is small, but the enemy's bullets are homing, so at the moment they launch them, they're on a set trajectory.
To where you are on the screen.
To where you are on the screen.
Right.
So basically you just need to move a little bit over, and you've dodged most of them.
Yeah, I know, I read someone made that exact statement, and I sort of applied it to my... I read that, I turned the game on, I applied it to my playthrough of the game, and I broke my high score by like 2 million. Just already sort of changing it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting game. I mean, the last couple bosses, though, I could be talking out my ass here, but the last couple bosses totally break that. Because their bullet patterns don't seem to me to be able to be dodged by just moving incrementally.
Have you been playing it on normal?
Yeah.
By default? Have you adjusted the difficulty level at all?
No.
I haven't adjusted it up. I adjusted it down just to see. I wanted to see if you got the same amount of points no matter what difficulty you were on.
Mm-hmm.
You do. First thing. Which doesn't matter, because when you go online and you see the score rankings, I'm pretty sure it breaks it down by difficulty.
Right.
So even if you get a bunch of points on easy and you gloat about it, people are just going to say, well, you did it on easy.
Right.
The thing to note is the bullets, there's less bullets, And then at one point, I think on very easy, which is the lowest before practice, where the ships don't even shoot.
Right.
On the very easiest, the bullets turn into that, like, half-moon marshmallow thing that you can actually shoot and destroy.
Oh.
That type of bullet.
Huh.
So I'm curious to see if you crank the difficulty higher, if those bosses get, if it's just like a bullet hell cave game at the end, where there's so
well,
many
have,
on screen.
Have you got to the last boss on normal? It's,
no.
It's a bullet hell cave game. I mean, it's honestly, it's not relative to a cave game's end boss, especially recent cave games, but it's relative to like, you know, like a level 3 out of 5 cave game boss, you know, mm-hmm. like third level in. It's pretty intense, man.
Right.
I mean, like, I honestly, knowing my skill set with these games, I can't see myself beating the second loop, especially on one credit, because the final boss, which is, of course, just a repeat of the first loop's boss, is ridiculous. I really wish you could. You should just watch him. And
well, that was a pretty. I'll get to it. I've got that far in the game mostly just because I trudged through it, and then you can start on any level that you've already beaten.
Right, which I didn't know.
So I was just like, well, hell with this. I'll just start on 1-6 and get as far as I can just to get those achievements.
What else do you think about the game?
I like it a lot, actually. It's the first shmup I've played in a long time, period, and it's the first shmup I've played in a long time, sort of seriously.
I don't like the menus.
Really? I think they have a really, like, PlayStation 1 charm.
No, that's cool. I don't think they're designed bad. I think that... Well, I guess I think they are designed bad. Aesthetically, I don't think they're bad.
Uh-oh.
I think that the way they're laid out might be kind of dumb.
They're a little confusing.
They are a little confusing. I didn't know you had to save the game after each round. I just assumed that the game automatically saved.
That took me an hour to figure out.
I just played over the course of 3 days, and every day I came back to the game.
It was like you started.
I had
first
to start
time.
Over again, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of weird to me.
I think is more just a weird
translation.
Because the way it prompts you to save, it doesn't actually say, do you want to save your game? It says something like, you want to save your play session or something.
Yeah, do you want to save this play session's progress?
Yeah.
So you think that means...
And I'm like, I don't understand what that means.
You think that means, would you like to save your replay?
I thought that's what it meant. And then I said no, and then it prompted me for the replay, and I was like, well, what the hell did I just say no to? Yeah. That might be just a weird translation thing, but...
I like... You know, the game's loaded with stuff to do, I think. I mean, I think there's plenty of stuff to do for anyone who likes shmups. For people who don't like shmups, you're not going
to
win them over.
Why are you listening to this?
Well, yeah. Well. You won't... I won't... The game's not going to win you over with extra things to do that you're going to find interesting.
No.
But for people who are into shmups, there's plenty to do. There's a gallery mode, which is every enemy you encounter, basically. I don't know if it's encounter or destroy.
It's when you... Oh, I don't know. That's a good point. I don't know.
But, you know, that gallery loads up, and then there's an achievement for filling that gallery up, and I have one ship missing.
And it's pretty cool, because you can, it's every enemy, and you can view the 3D model and turn it around and stuff.
Yeah. And
they're not impressive by any standard. They look like PS1 graphics.
Right.
But that's a neat extra that, I mean, it'll occupy you for 5 minutes or whatever, if you just want to check it out.
And I like the soundtrack a real lot. The
soundtrack's really good.
It's really good. And for the most part, I like the graphics, but it does one of those things where I can't imagine that this development team was large enough to have different people working on different levels. So I'm going to assume that the game was actually constructed and made in order of stages, because the game gets worse looking as you go on. I don't know if you noticed this. Like, it's something that I noticed.
I didn't notice because I was... My thing with shooters, and to go back a sec to how you actually play Raiden 4, is that the number of bullets on screen is indicative of how panicked I should be.
Mm.
So, you know, you start, you know, sweeping left to right may not be the best bet, but it's like I see all that those bullets coming, and it's like,
right,
I panic and freak out. So I'm not really paying attention to, like, passing under my ship.
Yeah.
I only, thinking about the levels right now, I can only remember up to level 3. With the statues that spin.
Right.
And then after that, I don't remember what any of the levels look like. Except the last one, which is like
That's
space.
4.
Wow, then I totally blocked out a level.
The statues that spin.
That's 4.
So like Easter Island type.
One's like military war
right.
zone. 2 is the city.
2's the city.
I don't know what 3 is.
3's kind of just like another, you're starting the sky. But anyway, the first stage,
oh, right.
The first stage is really nice, and there's a couple really nice effects in the game, graphical effects, like you're flying over what look like rice paddies. And in the rice paddies that are half filled with water, you see the reflection of the sky that you're flying through.
Right.
Right, so you see the clouds and everything, and that's like a really impressive detail to me. Like, I really appreciate that. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on the ground. Some of the ships are taking off. I guess you could call them your ships. Good ships, good guy ships.
Yeah.
Ships that are under attack are taking off in the background, and, you know, like one or two of them are attached to their fuel line still. So they'll, like, snag when they're taking off, and then they have some trouble getting up into the air, and then they, like, fully take off.
Yeah. I've totally missed this. No, I gotta go play it tonight and look.
There's all this, like, really sick detail, and I was like, wow, that's really impressive. Then you get to the second level, and it's a city, and the city looks really good, I think. Like, it looks better than, like, Shikigami no Shiro. Like, I didn't like
that. No, it looks really nice.
It looks really good, and then even the third stage gets good, but once it gets into space, it just looks terrible, I think. They have to texture the meteors and the meteor fields.
Oh, right.
It looks really bad. And actually, they use kind of like it's not really a skybox, but they use a giant background polygon for the space background. You know, they just texture it with a space texture. And the space texture is really repetitive. How do you say that? You know, the texture is not very large.
Yeah.
So if you watch a replay once,
it's tiled a lot.
It's tiled a lot, and I think too often. So that especially if you watch a replay in fast motion, which I did.
Yeah.
You can see how poor and how shitty the space background looks. Which, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard to make a good looking background nowadays. I don't see where the effort. Like, how much more effort?
Like, why that? Yeah, especially with Raiden 4. It's not like this is, you know, GTA 4 where you're running out of room on a disc.
Right, exactly. That's true too. And also the polygons that the backgrounds consisted of, the background of space itself is really close to the foreground. So not only is the texture tiled a lot, but as the game scrolls, you really become aware of the background's place in 3D space because it's so close to the foreground. It's something that's kind of weird and you don't even notice it unless you watch a replay in, you know, twice speed. But once you watch a replay in twice speed, it totally breaks the illusion.
Yeah, you can tell in the game space that it's like a polygon that's like 100 pixels underneath your ship.
Right.
It's not like way
not very far. And the boss is really cool, I think. It's an octahedron, which is in a lot of shmup games. I don't know why. Something creepy.
I think it's just something inherently creepy about a geometric shape shooting bullets at you.
Yeah.
The lack of detail is what's the scary part.
Right. It's a cool last boss, and the final boss is really cool too. The CG I actually like.
I do too.
It looks toyish, which is cool.
Yeah. It looks like it looks like a kid's show, but in a good way.
Right.
Has that sort of plasticky toy look to it, yeah.
I like it. I think it looks really cool. I like
everything. The game just reminds me, this makes me think of like gaming 10 years ago or even more.
Yeah, it's a really cool game. It reminds me of a Dreamcast game. It feels like it should be on the Dreamcast, specifically the Dreamcast.
That's kind of a weird border down thing.
It's got a weird polygon texture. Yeah. Looks Dreamcast to me, man.
Like, the menus do too.
So do you think that game was worth $40?
No. Without hesitation, no.
Alright, justify that.
Justify why it's not $40?
Why it's not worth $40.
Why it's not worth $40? I don't think that, I don't know. I feel like it could have easily just been a downloadable title for $20.
Did you play Raiden Fighters Aces?
No.
So I bought
I've been out of the shooter scene for a little bit.
I bought Raiden Fighters Aces when it came out, and when I called the GameStop near me to see if they had Raiden 4 in, the clerk really didn't know that they even had it in, and when he came across it, I asked him how much it was, and he said, $39.99. What? Why is it so much? And I said, I don't know, man. And he said, that doesn't make any sense. They just released the other game, the collection, with three games on the one disc for $20.
Yeah.
What's the deal? And, I mean, I didn't really care to talk to this guy, so I was like, I don't know, man. Just hold it for me. I'll be in there in a minute. And I showed up, and the other clerk made a comment about it, too. And obviously, neither of them are big shmup fans. But it made me think, why is this game $40?
Oh, I can tell you why it's $40.
I mean, I can tell you why it's $40, too, but it's rhetorical. Yeah. Why is this game $40?
Yeah.
So why do you think it's $40?
I think it's $40 because I think UFO Games is the U.S. Publisher of Raiden 4, and they have to know. I mean, if you're gonna release a game, they've got to do market research, and their market research told them shmup fans will pay ridiculous amounts of money for shmups.
Exactly.
Shmup fans are insanely early adopters.
Yeah.
If there's a shmup coming out, it's either they decide if they're going to purchase it before the game is out.
Right.
No one who is a shmup fan, well, I shouldn't say this, it's a general sweeping statement, but most shmup fans are not going to go out of their way to wait and see.
So shmup games have no legs. Shmup. Like, they have no legs in retail.
Not today.
Okay.
That's a good point. In retail box, I would say.
But they probably would more on fucking Xbox Live Marketplace.
Where it's available all the time, and it's available for half as much.
That really bothers me. See, on one hand, the only kind of game that I bother, quote-unquote, collecting anymore are shmups. You know, all my other games I don't really care too much for anymore. But the only games that I actually am focused on purchasing old, great copies of
owning and having in your home.
Exactly, yeah. Are shmups. So there's a big side of me that doesn't want to see the actual hard copy leave my life.
Right.
But I got to tell you, logically, this thing, I think, should have been on Xbox Live Arcade.
Do you think, are there...
It would have made more sense.
Is there a shmup that would exist that should be a physical release? And then if it were released on Xbox Live, you would have issue with it.
Well, I think compilations are justifiable for retail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, any game's justifiable for retail as long as there's a market for it. So I'm not going to say that there shouldn't be shmups on the market, but because I still like buying them. You know, I was excited to give someone my money to purchase this game. Regardless of whether or not
There is a cool feeling when you walk into your living room and you sit down to play a game and you see that awesome, utterly outdated-looking Raiden 4 cover.
Great.
Sitting on your carpet, like, nice and neat, and you're like, that's awesome.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, I really like shmups, and I'll totally support them in whatever format they come out in.
Yeah.
I don't know, it hurt a little bit, this one. $40. It wouldn't have hurt so bad had I not just bought Raiden. You know, it wouldn't have hurt at all had I not just bought Raiden Fighters Aces, the collection.
Yeah.
For so cheap. Especially because we don't get shmups here. I should be looking at this, wow, this is great, another shmup, I'll pay whatever I need to.
Whoever decided it was $40 would tell you the same thing, though. U.S. doesn't get shmups, that's why we charge $40. Like,
and I would agree and say that's a smart marketing move. Yeah.
But the cost to the company of putting it online is a mere fraction of what it is to pay for the plastic, pay for the inserts, pay for the shipping and the distribution of a package game.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, the only place to find this game is GameStop. I'm not even distributing it. It's already minimal distribution, physically.
I know when I went and bought the copy I bought the day it came out, and I bought the last one because you didn't find it at that location.
No, but my store had 3 copies.
And I guarantee you those are the only 3 copies I'll ever have.
Yeah.
I doubt there will be any reorders of Raiden 4. The initial shipment is the shipment.
So get it now.
Yeah. It's a good game, though.
It's a really good game. If you had to rate this game out of 10, which I'm not going to ask you this about other games, but I'm just doing it for the sake of
just this
discussion.
If I had to rank it out of 10?
You had to rank it out of 10 compared to other shmups.
Mm.
Not compared to the rest of the world's games.
Yeah, not compared...
Like Halo ODST.
Yeah, not compared to... Yeah.
Or Red Call of Duty, World... Yeah.
I would give it a... I'd give it a solid 8 out of 10.
And what game would be a 10?
Oh my god. My favorite shooter of all time is a game I don't know how much respect it gets in the shmup community. My favorite shooter of all time is actually Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
That's up there. R-Type Final. I think would be a 10. I really like that game.
That's divisive, man. Not many people like that game.
Really? Yeah, I know.
I love that game.
I really like R-Type Final.
I'd probably give it an 8, too. It's a good game.
It's good. It's not the best shooter I've ever played. It's accessible.
But it's
really accessible.
It's really accessible, and there's a lot to do. So if you...
Like, Ikaruga is not accessible.
No. If you like games, you should... If you like shmups, you should get this game. It's really good. I totally recommend it.
Yeah. And rent it if you see it, if you're not sure. Rent it and see what you think.
Somebody said that they saw it at their Blockbuster, which blows my mind.
Yeah, if you can rent it and you're interested... I would say if somebody's interested in starting to play these games, Raiden 4 would not be a bad place to start.
No, you're probably right.
It's pretty easy to get into. The easy mode is ridiculously easy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And maybe if you've never played before.
So. I doubt those people are going to graduate into anything beyond the easy mode once they beat the game, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the problem.
They'll collect their 180 achievements or whatever it adds up to be and take it back to Blockbuster.
Which I have like 300 achievements now. Some of those achievements, we'll get into that in a little while.
Yeah.
Some of those rating achievements, man.
Any?
I don't really like them too much.
Anything else you've been playing or anything else you want to discuss? Games you've been playing? Next week, this portion of the discussion, most of the podcast, I'm going to say we'll probably end up being about ODST.
Is it going to be out?
ODST is out next Tuesday.
Okay. I'm playing and finishing Explosion Man.
Yeah.
It's a really good game.
Game I'm afraid to play. Because I know I'll be terrible.
It's not that hard.
Really?
It's not that hard.
I saw that level.
It's not that hard. It does look hard, and there are some points... I mean, I would say, honestly, the most I've ever replayed a section of a level, the most, was probably 50 times, and that's only happened one or two times out of 50 levels.
Was it toward the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, so that's really not that bad.
Yeah, if you're doing it on level 10 out of 50.
The last couple levels get a little ridiculous. I mean, I just played through the last, like, six levels yesterday night and today, and... yeah, they definitely, but you know, the good thing about that game is it makes you feel accomplished when you beat a level. I mean, it really does. I've played through.
You compared it to Sonic. I thought that was really interesting.
It's just like Sonic. They should,
it has that feel.
Honestly, I know Sega's making the HD Sonic.
Yeah.
Supposedly, but why wouldn't you just let Twisted Pixel make your Sonic game? Because this feels just like a Sonic game to me.
Is it to the point where once you figured out how to get through a level, You're constantly basically just like flinging yourself through the level?
Yeah, I mean,
like a Sonic level.
There's a lot of parts in that game where time is of the essence. Like, you're being chased by a giant robot and you have to run to the right as fast as you can while going through a bunch of different obstacles.
Right.
And at first you tackle it and you think, I'll never get through this in time. This monster catches up, this robot catches up to me way too fast.
Yeah.
But just after playing the sequence of obstacles a few times, there's a lot of technique to when you actually press the explosion button, which sounds really bizarre, but it's just something that I noticed in the last level, because that's where you had to hone that ability to get by.
Yeah, I kind of got a taste of that in the demo.
Can really just bounce around
quickly
if you time your explosions just right. And
right.
It's amazing. Something else that I don't think many people have talked about is the fact that the sound design in that game, I think, is amazing. Like, every time, it's like that there's two soundtracks while you play. One is basically the background music, and another is foreground music that's a little more intense or driving. And the foreground music is muted until you explode yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So every time you explode yourself, whether or not it's really an action oriented, you know, part of the level.
Right.
It sounds like the music reaches some sort of crescendo. But it really isn't. It's just unmasking that muted level. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, it's the opposite of like in Wipeout where you get air and the music drops out.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never seen a game do that. I think it's really smart.
Only think about games that the sound switches, but not so much like another layer of sound.
So smart. It's design-wise, that's so smart. I can't wait to play the next game, man.
Yeah.
What's their next game called?
Comic Jumper.
You know who? You know what they? What the designer said that
Gunstar Heroes.
Gunstar Heroes.
I was gonna bring that up in news because I saw that. It's all right. Yeah. Name dropped Gunstar Heroes in news.
I couldn't have been more happy.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely be buying it day one, man.
Yeah.
Did you see them at PAX?
No. Like a video of them or whatever?
Yeah.
No.
They had a punching bag with one of their designer's faces on it, and underneath his smiling face, it says, "I designed level 3-5, and I got through that level last night. I got to and through that level last night, and I was like, obviously, this is the man I want to hit. You know, obviously.
That's funny.
It is really funny. It is really funny. But, yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Yeah.
Really just those two games. Three games.
Yeah. No, I've been all over the place just trying to catch up. Having sold the 360, I almost sold the 360, like the hard drive, like an idiot. So now I've got all these saves that I wish I still had in my possession.
Should have bought a memory card, man.
Should have bought a memory card.
Just in case.
Yeah. So I think I'll bring that to a close. Can we take a break for a minute?
Yes.
All right, take a break. Alright, so we're back. I think we're going to have a little chat about some achievements right now.
And, right.
I think the easiest jumping off point is to start with some of the hardest achievements there are.
Wait a second.
An achievement, let's say achievements and trophies, but considering the complete lack of integration of trophies with PSN,
right.
I don't think as many people really care.
Yeah, I really like the PlayStation 3, and I play it a lot, but I do not play it for achievements or, you know, trophies.
No.
That's actually an interesting thing to talk about.
A lot of them aren't very imaginative.
They're not, well, I don't really, you know, that's just, I don't really care what they are. I just don't, there's not a large enough community for it to mean anything to me, but what's interesting to me is that I find myself playing PlayStation 3 more to play a game and experience something, whereas my Xbox gameplay sessions are more like chores. You know, it's like, I've got a vacuum, I've got to get this achievement on this game, so I might as well go do it. But I rarely play my PS3 when it comes to actual retail games, but when I do, it's always because I want to play the game and experience the game. And to a certain extent, there's a lot of freedom in PS3 games, because I don't really care about the trophies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I play the game because it's good and not because of the trophies. Whereas a game like... What game has bad achievements?
Well, there's many.
What's one of the worst? Well, let me do mine. I have a good one.
Yeah.
Bullet Witch.
Yeah. I don't know. You told me about it. I've never played the game, and I remember the way they work.
I tend to like really bad / really good Japanese games. Like Bullet Witch, EDF, Onichanbara. Mm-hmm. I like those type of games. And they typically have some difficult achievements. And the Bullet Witch one, I think there are 5 levels of difficulty to Bullet Witch. The last 2 being unlocked once you defeat the other 3. And each level of difficulty has an achievement value. The last level of difficulty being Hell. the end boss takes about an hour to beat. You have to put so much fucking ammunition into this man's body before he dies. And that's just a boss. Takes an hour to beat. That Hell achievement is only worth 1 fucking achievement point. 1. So I've got 999 on Bullet Witch. And something's telling me to get that. To go through the entire game one more time. My 5th time through the game this will be. Just to even out my achievement score. Because that's another thing that bothers me about the achievement score. Sometimes a developer will throw in some shit like a 7-point achievement.
Yeah.
And it'll throw off your gamer score.
Yeah.
I don't like that shit. That drives me out of my mind. That almost forces you to play.
Mine is constantly, is always ending in 3. 3 or 8. Because there is an achievement in Marathon 2.
Yeah.
that is like an awkward
7-point achievements.
Yeah. Because
of the whole 7 thing.
So there's another achievement in that game that will put me back on to like a 0 or 5.
But it's a hard achievement, right?
It's one I just don't. I
don't like the game that much.
I have to put a lot of time into. Yeah, I like that game, but I don't want to beat it again.
Right.
I did it already on the PC years ago. But yeah, that it bothers me.
So, you know, what we were saying was Bullet Witch is a pretty good game. I had fun playing it, and... Well, I had fun playing it the first time through. I did not have fun playing it the third time through. I definitely did not have fun playing it the fourth time through. And this is where I think achievements are very interesting. They forced me to play through some games multiple times that I otherwise wouldn't have touched. And the cool part about that is I get to see a lot more of the game than I ever would have before. And I get to get a lot better at the game than I ever needed to be before. The downside, of course, is I'm missing a lot of other great games while I play this relative shit.
I think it's a cheap way. I think a lot of developers use achievements to artificially extend the time someone will spend with their game.
See, now that's interesting
in
because...
There's good and bad examples of it.
Okay, so what's a bad example of artificially extending the gameplay?
A bad example would be a game like Mass Effect that has a lot of achievements in it for using certain skills X amount of times.
Okay.
And a lot of these are skills that you're not going to use in the game. I mean,
like what?
Unfortunately...
Because I've never played through that game.
In Mass Effect, you basically pick... You're either a soldier... You're either like a combat,
right.
You're a tech guy, or you're like a biotic, which is like their version of magic.
So there's different achievements for different classes?
They have three hybrid classes that kind of do half and half of those.
Okay.
Really, if you want to play that game in the fastest way, the easiest way, you're going to pick combat. You're going to pick soldier.
Yeah.
Combat. Guns. You don't really have access to like the magic biotic powers or like the technical.
So you have
like
to play the game again.
So you purposely have to go out of your way and create a new character that has those abilities, and then make it a point to use these really not useful skills to get achievements. I did it. I don't know why. I think it's just because I liked the game so much. I felt this weird sort of I'm obligated to get 1,000 out of 1,000 on it. But all you end up doing is going out of your way to use those powers on like inanimate objects because it counts towards the internal counter.
Okay, so that's and that I don't like. That's always lame. When you're not actually playing the game to get the achievements, you're just breaking the game to get the achievements.
Well, it kind of fits in your Bullet Witch example. I mean, you really would not have played that game 4 or 5 times.
No, here's another example. and it's Bullet Witch, too. Bullet Witch, one of the achievements was, I believe it was play the game for 24 hours. So you can't be in the pause screen or the title screen, you have to actually be moving your character around.
Right.
So I rubber banded my joystick and just put the character in a corner of the first level.
Right.
So she just ran.
Right.
Now...
Oh, shit. What game did I do?
What drives me to do that?
Katamari had an achievement just like that, too, where I left the thing overnight and he was just, like, spinning in a circle.
What drives me to do that? I don't really understand myself.
It's prestige. It's the score. It's prestige. It's the old school score.
I love achievements. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a podcast where we talk bad about them because it's really one of the only reasons I still play games.
And between us, we don't have that a lot.
No, and that's what I like. Something that I'm not really into getting as many achievements as I can. Like I said, I think on last week's podcast, I like looking at achievements as the best way to tell what games a person really likes.
Yeah.
You know? There are some people on my friends list who are, for example, like members of the Shmups forums.
Yeah.
And they are all really into Shmups, obviously. And, you know, a few in particular have 1,000 out of 1,000 on pretty much every Japanese release Shmup there is. If you look at any of their other games... Well, they don't even have any other games on their list.
Right.
You can tell what these guys play, and they're damn good at it. I really like that. I really like that identity that it creates of you. To the point where when the Xbox updated and you were able to delete achievement scores that you had.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. You were able to delete games that you played in your game history that had no achievement points.
Right.
Did you go back and delete those games?
Yeah.
I did too. Why? Because I didn't want people knowing that I played these shitty games? Yeah, kind of. In fact, there's a couple games that I rented.
Yaris game.
Yeah, I would never. And that's why I didn't. That's why I never downloaded Aegis Wing.
Oh yeah.
Because I think the game looks ridiculous, and I'm obsessive to the point where
it's pretty crummy. I do have it.
It is not good, and I am obsessive to the point where the icon for the game, if it looks shitty, I don't want it on my list. Like that is pretty ridiculously obsessive and anal, and I can't even quite explain it, but. The Aegis Wing game, it's a free game, and I just think the gamer icon is so stupid that I don't want it on my list.
Coppery ship or whatever the hell it is.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's really... I don't know anyone else who's that stupidly obsessed with it, but I don't know. I really like the identity that my games list creates.
I do find myself bothered by things like that.
All the time.
I'm bothered by it, but it's not to the... I haven't gotten to the point where it's like, I don't want that on my list.
I would sacrifice some game points... to get a couple games that I don't want on my list anymore.
I would. I would too.
Do you know any of them?
I would get rid of Perfect Dark. I would get rid of... I'd get rid of Dead or Alive 4.
I'd get rid of Virtual Fighter.
I'd get rid of the Play Online viewer icon that will not go away.
Right.
It's not even a game, but it won't go away.
Annoying. That's fuck.
There's a couple... Wick, Fable of Souls... You have no idea what that game is. It was one of the first downloadable titles ever, and the fucking icon is this bug-eyed, like Abe's Odyssey ripoff looking dude.
Yeah,
it's the worst looking icon. And every time I go to the like,
it's at the bottom.
Every time I try to like plummet the like, the debris at the bottom of my achievements list.
Right.
That fucking face is just down there staring at me, and it's like it bothers me.
Why can't I just delete it?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I really wish that Microsoft allowed you to delete some of your game history because. You know,
they made the step of allowing you to delete games with no achievements in them. I guess from just the aspect of that, it clogged up your playlist with like all the demos and shit that you played.
Right.
But it seems like that's sort of they're sort of caving in on the people. Like people really get into crafting what games they're playing and what achievements they're getting out of these games.
I'm pretty sure that one day they will allow you to pick and choose what games you have on display. Because I've rented games before, played through a couple missions, like World at War, and then, you know, two missions in, I decided I will never touch this game again.
Yeah.
So I've got 45 points or so, and I really don't even want them.
Yeah.
I'd rather not have them than have them on my list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bad achievements, though. Really get me down. And talking about games that I want to have on my list as, you know, say 1,000 out of 1,000 complete, but I could never hope to do it because of shitty achievements, that's even more upsetting. Ridge Racer 6. Anyone who's listening to this who has ever attempted to get more than 200 achievement points on Ridge Racer 6 understands that there is not a game out there for the 360 that has more typical achievement points. I've been playing the game for years now, and I've only got 150.
Yeah, it came early. I mean, it came early. It was one of the launch titles.
When no one knew what achievement points
were. Really didn't understand what achievements were, and Namco didn't weight any of the... Like, you know, so the achievements are weighted where you beat the game... It's usually a pretty big chunk of an achievement point.
Right.
You do something difficult. You do something difficult, you beat the game, you get a lot of achievement points. You know, you do something incidental, you get a few achievement points.
You can tell that they view the achievement points as having more achievement points is going to be better. I mean, and what by that I mean is having more achievements is better.
Yeah. Which is why I hate the orange box.
I hate the orange box too. I didn't stop playing Half-Life 2 just because of the achievements. I hated them so much. Some of them,
because the big point ones, and big is 35 on Orange Box,
right?
Are a lot of them are insanely difficult. All gold and portal,
right?
Getting that gnome guy in episode 2 of Half-Life
through the whole game, right, or something.
You basically get him. I tried it, and there was a point in the game where what I had to do to get him through this scenario was not worth my time, but I had come so far and I was like, I'll just as soon give up and not even go further. then admit defeat, leave him here and keep playing.
Right, right.
And I was just like, but yeah, you basically have to, you pick him up very early in episode 2 and you take him through, I think it's about 90% of that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. And that's, you know, going back to Ridge Racer 6, yeah, that's the mentality of, if we have more achievements, regardless of their point value, people might just stick around and do this crazy shit for 5 points.
You know, not to get derailed from talking about bad achievements, but before I forget, a game that had really good achievement, and a really good achievement system, I think, was actually Bionic Commando, the new one for the Xbox.
I haven't played it, but I saw it on your list. I was actually gonna ask you about it, you know, personally outside of this.
It's pretty good. The way the achievements are set up in that game is actually something I've never seen. Okay, so you'll be going along playing through the game, and you'll happen to do something like grab a man, throw him in the air, and then shoot him.
Yeah.
Then in the game, a meter will pop up that says, hey, do this 4 more times to defeat this quote-unquote challenge.
Yeah.
So every time you beat these challenges, they level up your character in the game. But they're also the achievements.
Wow.
Right.
That's really nice.
Exactly. So you just, at first I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm not gonna, you know, they start to get hard. It's like, kite a car into a robot, then swing on a car in the air, and then do this 6 times. It's a lot of stuff. Or something like, kill 3 men with 1 shotgun blast while swinging is one of them. And you have to do it several times.
Right.
You know? I looked at that and I was like, this is retarded. I'll never do this. But then I understood that, oh, I'm leveling up for this. And the level ups that they give you are sort of, they kind of have to do with what you just did. So, for example, kill 3 men while swinging with a shotgun might give you stronger shotgun or right. wider spread, you know?
Sure.
And so these achievements are only worth 5 points apiece. But there's so many of them.
Since they're like double dipping, it's really nice.
Exactly. Since you're already doing
that's
them
really
to progress
cool.
in the game.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And that's really one of the only reasons that I played through that miserable game. Was is to finish, and I didn't come close to finishing the challenges in that game because there's so many, actually. I barely scratched the surface, but I thought that was pretty cool. And it was the first time I've ever seen a developer, you know, kind of think outside the box with achievements, you know?
Yeah, I can't immediately think of anything else where getting an achievement directly affected gameplay. It's usually you get this achievement, something like in Halo 3, you get 1,000 out of 1,000, you unlock the samurai sword.
Which is cool too.
Which is cool, but it doesn't add any real gameplay value.
I like that though too. That is cool.
Yeah. No, that's cool. No, that's cool. I'm saying it's cool, but I like the fact that they kind of double dip where it's like, do this for an achievement and you'll get some kind of neat bonus that helps you in
right.
the game actually.
I'm just recently playing through Red Faction.
Mm-hmm.
And you played through some of it too.
Yeah.
Did you look at all the achievements and see what they were?
Yeah, I did at some point.
So, there are a lot of multiplayer achievements, I think.
Yeah.
In Red Faction.
Yeah.
I don't agree with multiplayer achievements. And Red Faction has been the most recent example of terrible decision to put multiplayer achievements. Even Bionic Commando, another thing about that, they didn't have any multiplayer achievements despite having this, you know, much lauded online component to the game that was actually pretty fun. The Red Faction multiplayer is fun as fuck. There's no doubt that it's a great multiplayer. But to have multiplayer achievements in your game, you have to be pretty confident that your game is A, good, that it's going to have a online community that's going to stick around.
Yeah.
And support those achievements. And I honestly, Red Faction, some of the achievements are too far-fetched for how much time anyone should put into that multiplayer, despite the fact it's a good multiplayer game. So if you're Halo, and you understand that you're going to be on the top of the Xbox Live's most played games for the next 3 years,
yeah,
put in as many multiplayer achievements as you want, because most people are just going to snag them. That's why people buy that game, you know? But if you're, well, Red Faction, don't. You're killing me. There's like 300, 400, 500 points worth of achievements in that game.
I think it's over half the points. Almost half the total points in Red Faction are multiplayer.
That's absurd. That is totally ridiculous.
I don't like them usually. I think multiplayer achievements that at least tie multiplayer achievements that tie into you doing things to other people, like specific actions. Like in Halo, you get the achievement for hijacking five or ten times.
You kind of have to boost some of those.
Yeah, but like for Red Faction, you know, and then, but if there's achievements where it's, you know, capture five flags.
Right.
I don't mind those. Because that is not dependent on other people
being
in the game.
Yeah.
That's fine. But where it's like, Perfect Dark Zero has a fucking achievement, has achievements where it's get X amount of kills with Y weapon.
Right.
And there are different tiers, like get 10, 50, 100, whatever.
Right.
When you get into the 500 range, it's hours for one, let alone there's 20 weapons in the game.
Right. That's like Prey.
It's like Prey. You're making a huge assumption that people are just going to play your game forever.
Adam and I were trying to boost the Prey achievements, and because of the structure of the online component, you are frequently spawned far away from the other person.
Right.
Nowhere near the weapon that you need.
Right.
So even getting one kill, even if you both decide to run towards each other and, you know, boost, one sacrifice himself to the other.
Yeah.
It takes hours to get these achievements.
One of the worst.
And no one's playing Prey.
No.
I'll solve that mystery for anyone wondering right
now. No one was playing Prey when it came out.
Right, right.
When I had it. And I can say that with confidence because I bought the game 0 day because I got sucked into it for some reason.
Interesting game.
I got sucked into it mostly because I remember hearing about it back when Duke Nukem 3D was still relatively new. And it kind of got associated with...
Yeah.
It might kind of be like that, kind of cool.
And it kind of was.
It kind of was, but it.
Multiplayer, not so good.
One of the worst multiplayer achievements, period, but multiplayer achievements, is in Condemned 2, which is a game whose multiplayer component is a complete afterthought. As much as, I know it's Sega, but I forget who the actual developer is. You know, they were talking about after the first game, we've got a multiplayer component and we're really working on it. We really want it to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, but one, that's a title to a relatively niche game.
Right.
So it's a niche sequel.
Right.
One of the achievements is called SKX, who is a character in the game. SKX, the instructions is simply kill the killers. What that is you get another achievement called Serial Killer, which unlocks after you've amassed 1,000 kills online.
Uh-huh.
Not easy.
Right.
Considering the average Condemned 2 match, if you're good, you're leaving out of that match with maybe 20 kills.
What a nightmare.
Kill the Killers is in the plot of the Condemned mythos, SKX was responsible for killing 9 serial killers. So you have to kill 9 people with this serial killer achievement to get this achievement.
Oh my god, that's ridiculous.
It is to date the only achievement that I have specifically gone online to boost for. Because I bought that game and
you have a lot of achievement points on that game, right?
I have all except for one, which is beat the game on hard, which I'll never attempt because the game was difficult enough as it was.
Huh.
But I have all the multiplayer achievements because people boosted on it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks after, like I went like a week after that sort of died down, that game kind of came out and faded. I went online just to see what was going on. There was nobody. Like I got into barely a game and there was barely anybody in it.
What?
Like that takes such balls to be like, people will do this.
Right. That's like Dark Sector, which you've never played, right?
I played the demo.
Dark Sector has a multiplayer mode that they tacked on, and so does The Darkness.
I didn't know that. That game was all single player.
The Darkness has a multiplayer mode. It's where they try and do something other than deathmatch by twisting things around where one of you is not just your average player.
That's exactly what Condemned was. Modes where you would play like the SCU, which was like the police.
Right.
And then everybody else were like, you know, drug-addled bums.
Okay.
But then the twist was only 2 people could be SCU and everybody else were the bums. So the numbers were uneven. But it proved to be interesting.
Was SCU more powerful?
Yeah, SCU got guns and it had armor.
Oh.
Where the bums can only use, like, you know, wooden boards and pipes.
Okay.
Kind of interesting, but it didn't last very long.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to talk about Dark Sector, but I didn't quite know how to explain this because when I say this, it's going to sound really cool.
Yeah.
But in practice, it's not fun, and it wasn't fun, and it lasted maybe 4 games before I threw the towel in. There's a mode where, you know the plot of that game, well, you don't really need to know the plot, but a guy gets infected and he turns into basically the Guyver, you know?
Right.
Okay, so he has a lot of powers, kind of similar to the Guyver, He can make himself invisible. He's really powerful. He can throw up a shield in front of himself that stops bullets, whatever.
Right, yeah.
He's pretty unstoppable, at least compared to another human being.
Right.
So there's an online mode where one person is him, and then there's a bunch of different other guys in yellow radioactive, you know, hazmat suits.
Right.
Trying to find an invisible man running through these levels. So you'll just be playing, and suddenly you'll look at one of your friends who just gets his throat slit. By an invisible man.
Right.
And, you know, they link... There's actually a lot of achievements. Not too many, actually, but they're hard achievements to get. Something like, you know, 500 kills, 1,000 kills.
Yeah.
No one's played this game up to that point. I mean, there's honestly... I am confident in saying something like, no one got that achievement without boosting. Nobody.
Yeah.
If you have that achievement, you've boosted.
That's another condemned story. That's another condemned type thing.
It's a cool multiplayer idea. In practice, it's just not doesn't work for more than like 5 matches. So to be that confident that your multiplayer is going to pick
it
up...
It doesn't work for more than 5 matches, and you know, if you're going to be honest, you're not playing that mode. You wouldn't have played that mode if there wasn't an achievement tied to it.
At all. So why even include it?
Yeah.
Why include the mode, first of all? You know what I mean?
If you're going to half-ass it, why put it in there?
You know, it's like, that's ridiculous. Another one that I kind of liked was, did you ever play, well, they're viral achievements. What do you think about those? The ones where it's like, play with another person who's infected with this to get this achievement.
Yeah. GTA has one like that.
So I kind of
like
those.
So does Marathon.
So does Burnout, I think. Yeah, Burnout's play with someone who's played with the creators, which is kind of cool. And Red Faction, and usually they're worth 0 points.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't understand achievements that are worth nothing. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Why put it,
But Red Faction has one. It's 50 points to play with someone who also beat the campaign.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
That's really interesting.
It makes people want to beat the campaign so they can score an extra 50 points out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's basically what it's saying. It's basically the... pull you into the multiplayer.
It adds a slight community aspect to where it's like...
What it's totally doing is saying, hey, now that you beat the single player, just play one multiplayer match and see if you can find someone to get an achievement with. And, you know, Red Faction, I don't mean to slight the game, the multiplayer is really good. So if you are the type of person who got sucked into that, hey, maybe I'll play a match and see if I can get this 50-point achievement, you might get sucked into the game, and then in turn you might get sucked into the DLC later on. So it's smart for there. I can understand why they do it, and I kind of appreciate that. I don't really mind it, because a lot of the achievements in that game are difficult to get. It's good they gave you one.
I like achievements that, I guess viral achievements, where the feats of another player help you.
Yeah, that's cool. I don't know if anything gets that at all.
That's a really cool idea. A lot of but then that also sort of falls into the category of viral achievements on a game that no one's playing.
Right. Difficult.
Yeah.
Easy to boost, though.
Yeah, it depends on what the criteria is. It's like, play with one of the creators, and, you know, is there some lonely guy at, like, this third-rate developer who just has to sit on the 360 all day and help spread that achievement a little bit?
Well, in Burnout, the way that one works is, as long as you played with someone who's played the creator.
Yeah, it's like a second step.
Remember? Right, which is, that's cool.
Yeah.
I have to bring it up, Guitar Hero 3's achievements. Guitar Hero, in general, is achievements.
I don't remember what they are, but I have less than 100 on that game, and I wish that wasn't on my list.
I wish it wasn't on my
list. If I'm under 3 digits, it's already like a...
It's embarrassing.
I couldn't even get to 100.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Unless you know how difficult that game is, it's embarrassing. You know what I mean? And most people...
I have like 300 on Guitar Hero 2, and what I accomplished in both games is relatively the same. And I have like 80 in 3.
Yeah, the achievements for Guitar Hero 3 are for the virtuosos who are great at the game. Period.
Yeah.
That's a skill set that I don't possess. So, I could never even fathom getting those achievements. I remember beating the game on 3 or 4 difficulty levels and still only having 120
points. For those games, Rock Band, Guitar Hero... Now, I haven't seen the Guitar Hero 5 or World Tour...
World Tour is still kind of difficult.
I haven't seen those achievements. I remember vaguely Rock Band 2 and 1. For those games being touted as such a...
Fun
party
game. Party,
your mom can play it game.
They have some fucking difficult
achievements. Those achievements are difficult as shit.
I know, right? I mean, I guess they're trying to appeal to the hardcore.
They're trying to straddle the middle, but it's like...
Really? No?
Some of that, like the achievement in Rock Band where you have, it's either followers or whatever it is, but you get like a million followers. Your followers is tied directly into the difficulties you're playing on. Mm. And you can only, you're only capable of getting a million followers if you're able to play on Expert.
Mm.
And everybody in your band has to be playing on Expert.
Okay, yeah, right.
So it's like, you have to find at least one other person who can do Expert. And do it regularly.
I'll meet you there. That's what I say when someone says that to me. You know, like, when someone... And I think it's kind of interesting because in one respect, you look at these really difficult achievements and you say, oh, that's cool, because if I really was addicted to Guitar Hero 3, I would always have something else to do because the achievements are so difficult.
Yeah.
And I guess that is kind of cool. But when it comes to a game like Guitar Hero 3, where you get anything under 500 achievement points for completing the game pretty much once through, I think is a little cheap. It's a little chintzy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I expect at least 500 points for beating
a game. I don't know, 500 is, I think, maybe, it, to me, is a little generous, but no, I agree.
500's generous?
I think, well, that's half the game. Yeah, I don't know. I guess if I really thought about it, I'd probably agree with you.
If you beat a game like
but no, I Action, no, but I agree. For just purely experiencing the game, the core game the developer set out for you to see,
yeah,
you should walk away with a couple hundred points in your pocket.
Yeah.
Man, I played this game. I did all the goals you set before me. I saw, you know, most of the sights I was supposed to see.
Right.
Maybe I didn't collect all the orbs. I didn't mine all of the medals.
I didn't do all of that.
But I got close, and I beat the game. You should walk away with more than like 100. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's interesting to me in that the difficulty of these achievements have created a market where one didn't exist before.
And real quick, now that I think about it, I think maybe that's why I went back and did those stupid Mass Effect ones, because I remember by the end of my first playthrough on Mass Effect, I was at like 550. And I didn't really go out of my way. I went out of my way to experience everything in that game.
Right.
But I didn't go out of my way to be like, I have to do this 800 times.
Right.
And I at the end, I was like, wow, that 550. I think I'd like to go and do these other stupid achievements.
That's what I'm saying. As long as you're over 500, your brain wants to round up to the 1,000.
So if
you beat the game and you have 500 or over, your brain just logically wants to fill that gap. It's like, you know what? Just get the rest. Take care of the rest.
Yeah.
And God, I wish they would...
That's when you start looking specifically at what the achievements are.
You're like,
all right, which ones can I tackle?
Right.
Easiest.
Can you imagine achievements without YouTube?
No.
No. Thank God, man. That's what I'm saying. These achievements have created such a marketplace.
No, they go hand in hand with
Look how many sites are around now just because of achievements.
I have an app on my iPhone that is achievements.
Really?
I downloaded it specifically for this episode in case we forgot something.
What does it have on it?
It's like Xbox 360 achievements.
What's it called? You know, what's it called?
It is just called Xbox Achievement Guide.
That's amazing. I had no idea that existed. Oh my God, this is amazing.
Gives you the point. The only thing it doesn't do that I wish it did is it doesn't tell you, like, it'll tell you what the achievement is, but there's no like accompanying text where it's like, this is what this means. You
know? Earth Defense Force, the first thing I see, interesting. Earth Defense Force had a great list of achievements. There are six achievements.
Yeah.
In Earth Defense Force for 1,000 points. All stages clear.
It's a different approach that works for that game very well.
It works amazingly well for that game.
Where it doesn't work so much for a game like Avatar that I've never played, but I did watch the YouTube video where you can get 1,000 in like 3 minutes.
I enjoy the structure of EDS achievements the most.
You know why? Because it's big reward for big effort.
Exactly. I really like that. A lot of people were championing the whole incremental award system, especially in like Gears. When Gears 2 came out and they had the sort of in-game achievement monitor.
Yeah.
That let you know how
like
far.
Like the Bionic Commando type thing.
But it was, you know, rewardless. It was just, hey, you're this close to getting this.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked that, you know, because it kept them playing. But I didn't like it because it was like Orange Box.
I liked it until it happened in Red Faction. And then it started revealing to me.
Right,
that's
a good point. So why did it do that?
It just sets off the neurosis.
Okay, so in Red Faction, for those who haven't played the game, There are these crates scattered about the planet Mars that are supply crates for the EDF, which stands for Earth Defense Force, interestingly enough. And when you destroy your first crate, an achievement meter basically pops up on the top and says, destroy crate.
It doesn't even say it's tied. It doesn't even say it's tied to an achievement, but you know it is.
Yeah, you know it's an achievement.
Yeah.
It says 1 out of 250. Okay. As soon as you see that, and as soon as Sean saw that, and as soon as I saw it too, because I did the exact same thing, I got so fucking upset because now I knew that I had to keep an eye out for these crates, no matter where I was, because if I missed one. Lesson learned from Crackdown agility orbs.
God help you if you miss one.
God help me if I miss one, because I'll have to scour the surface of Mars, which isn't very interesting. You know,
no. It isn't very interesting and isn't very intelligible. Like, you're not going to pass that red rock.
No, like, it's not recognizable.
Yeah, there you go. Right, there's no real landmark.
And there's nothing on your map that tells you really where these EDF crates are. So it's basically, I mean, they're generally around places you need to go, which is good.
Yeah.
But God help you if you miss one, because then you'll have to go scour the entire planet.
But you did say, at least helpfully, with the crates, there are more than
exactly.
the required amount.
This is the first game I've ever seen where there are more than 250 crates to destroy, despite the fact the achievement only requires you to destroy 250. So when I destroyed my last crate, or so I thought, I said, wow, I can't believe I didn't miss one that whole time, you know?
Yeah, and then you saw one more.
A few minutes later, I saw a group of 30 sitting over by some mountain, and I was like, really? That's really impressive. They didn't, however, do the same thing with the ore that you have to mine.
Or the propaganda, I think.
Or the propaganda. Yeah. Both set numbers of things you have to destroy, and the ore...
The ore is terrible.
The ore is terrible because it's generally, because of its nature...
At least in Crackdown, it's a bright green sphere in an urban landscape.
And it emits noise.
It emits noise, it emits an effect.
Right.
It's easy to spot.
The ore is generally...
brown on red.
The ore is brown on red, and sometimes it is in a really well-hidden valley that you have to
jetpack.
It's
like an alcove of rock behind a mountain.
Here's an interesting question. In all the time that you play that game, have you ever found a radio tag?
I think I found one.
You found one?
On accident.
I got to the last level and I found my first radio tag. By mistake.
I did and I...
And I was like, what the hell
I
is
did,
this?
I did, and I'll tell you where it was and you'll understand why I probably found it. It's there's a point in the game where you go to the next... Where you follow the raiders or whatever.
Yeah.
And you follow them to the old Torf factory. You go way the hell out of your way on that mission.
Right.
And while I was out there, I ran... That's where I found it, was in that factory. By total accident.
I haven't even
because found I just I felt I was in that location and I thought, I'm way the fuck out here.
There has to be.
This is a really unique area. There has to be some kind of secret out here other than just the end of this mission.
Because they're assholes.
Yeah. So then I just started like rocketing into the wall. I started just like hammering walls and I just happened. Like it was nowhere on the beaten path. Like I had to like hammer through two walls and through a floor on accident. And it was just like radio tag. Oh, shit.
I didn't even know what that was or what it meant, but apparently you unlocked things.
But when that happened, it was when I found that, the difficulty and the randomness of me finding that, my brain automatically went, I'm not even gonna bother.
Right. You might as well just go get a map and take care of it one Saturday that you're bored. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're set to do it.
But Red Faction, great game. I'm just bitching about the achievements. Don't mean to be too negative on the game. Great game.
Yeah. No, but I like. I think did you ever even play Oblivion? You don't really do the whole
never
super long, epic.
So thing. Insane.
Oblivion has a really easy, easy but interesting and I think rewarding achievement structure. There's a lot of side storylines in that game that you can just utterly ignore and beat the game. Like you could beat that game probably in a weekend if you just sort of sat down and did just the main line.
Yeah.
But then there's the Thieves Guild and the Mages Guild and the Fighters Guild.
Thieves Guild, I've heard of.
And the, I'm missing something else. And I don't know. But you get achievements for ranking up in those guilds. And you can do them all in one save. Like, you could be the master of the Thief Guild, the Fighter Guild, and the Mages Guild.
Oh, that's good.
And the Arena. The Arena Champion.
That's good.
For every rank up you get in those storylines, and there's storylines attached to them, it's not just grinding, you get an achievement. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's... they're rewarding you for sort of going out of your way and experiencing another part of the game. And they're like, hey, thanks for taking the time out to experience all this shit we did.
Fable 2 is like that.
That has nothing to do with the main game, really. That's, yeah.
Fable 2 is a lot like that.
I like that.
One thing that, Fable 2 is a lot like that, but one thing that kind of pisses me off about Fable 2 is, did you play it?
No, that's another game that's like, I gotta fucking play
it. It's a great game.
I gotta fit it in somewhere.
It's not, I'm telling you, it's a great game. It's not hard to get into. It's not difficult to play. It doesn't require that much time.
I feel like Fable 2, if I rent it or whatever, will be like dropping a boulder in a lake. Like, it's going to push every other game I have out of the way, and that's all I will play
for. It's an amazing game. I mean, it's one of the best games
I've played. I have to find a space. Like, I can't. I'm going to have ODST. I got the shit coming out.
You'll be able to beat Fable 2 in a weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't take that long for me to beat.
Just go pick it up then.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to get all the achievements, that's another story. One of the achievements in, or a set of the achievements in Fable 2 is actually, you know, there's basically three ways to beat the game. Like, at the very end, you have to make one of three choices.
Mm-hmm.
And if you reset your game before the ending cinema plays through, you can restart over at the last save before you made the choice.
Oh, is it like auto save otherwise?
Yeah.
It's like you can't, yeah.
And you can't. So I didn't know that. So to get these last couple achievements now,
you'll have to play it again.
I have to play the entire game over again.
And just like when you beat it, have your finger on the power button.
Yeah, it's not even that much of a timing issue. I just wish I would have known. I saw the achievement beforehand. I just figured that as soon as you press the button, it would unlock, and you would have no choice to get the others. I didn't know you could reset it.
That's really shitty.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, because I'll never play the game through again. My character's so well-developed,
right?
You know, and badass-looking.
But I'm saying, from a developer, you know, at some point, the developer has to review the achievements they're putting in the game. You'd think somebody would go, people are going to be pouring 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours into these characters. We can't expect them to A, sort of do it again at a fraction of the time just to get the achievement,
right.
But B, you know, people get really attached to their characters when you invest that much time into them.
There's an orb type thing in Fable 2 also.
There's an orb type thing in all games now.
Right.
There's always a collection quest now.
Yeah. The Fable one is gargoyles. And the gargoyles, it's kind of funny. I thought it was interesting at first until you get to that point where the really hidden ones are the last ones that you have to get.
Yeah.
Up until that point,
you get them all easily, and then you're like, shit. And then you go on YouTube, you see where one is, and it's like
Under a rock,
behind a mountain, over a river of lava, and like, you know, down a ladder.
But these gargoyles are interesting in that they move and they talk shit to you. So
you did tell me about these guys.
Anywhere you're near them, they're like, hey, piece of shit, you know, but they're doing it in like a snarky English accent, obviously, and they're using words like crikey and yada, yada, yada. And so that makes you want to find them and kill them more. So that's kind of cool. But I kind of like Fable 2's achievements. I mean, they're really impressive. But that brings up downloadable stuff to me. Because Fable 2 has a couple downloadable packs where they add achievements. And I kind of want to talk about that. Because, I don't know, how do you feel about that?
Adding achievements for DLC content?
Yeah. I think it's necessary.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, so
I think any sort of major update that comes out without any additional achievements in it is not
pointless.
Yeah, it's a huge ding against me sinking my money into it.
So what about arcade games on Xbox Live? Do you think that the 200 out of 200 limit makes sense?
No.
Because I don't.
No.
It's the stupidest.
I think a game like Shadow Complex having only 200 achievements is ridiculous.
Right?
That game is easily a full. That's a full game. It's not even like an arcade game.
You can tell they wanted more achievements too, because there are more meters in that game for things that you can.
Yeah, there's internal achievements inside the game that you don't get points for getting.
It would have been amazing to have 1,000 out of 1,000 on that game.
I would gladly 1,000 that game. There's so many things. There's so many ways to play it. There's so many ways to go about things in that game.
Another thing like Ikaruga, like, some of those achievements are fairly difficult. And if they
and
were
25 points for 1cc does not feel fair.
Right. To a lot of people, you know, 1cc-ing a game is not on their menu. You know, that's just not going to happen for
it's
them.
Rarely for me.
Right?
I could probably count on my one hand.
Specifically, Ikaruga, if only because it's a little more bizarre to your average gamer, and Trigger Heart Excelica. Trigger Heart Excelica.
Real quick, just for anyone who might be listening is not familiar, 1cc is one credit clear, which is essentially, from the old days in the arcades, you put your quarter in and you beat the game on your one quarter, you don't have to, you don't continue to put more money in. That's where that comes from.
So no continues.
No continues. And that is sort of a badge of honor in the shmup community, at least, because
That's what
if you can do that, that means you're really good at the game.
Right. Most shmuppers are, and that's even a worse word. I can't believe I just said
shmuppers. Yeah.
But most shmuppers really want to 1cc every game. And, you know, when you look
ultimately, that's what you're after when you start playing one.
For sure. And it's a lofty goal for a lot of people. But it's really one of the only things that gives these games their replay value. You know, perfecting the art. But still, for a lot of people, that is way too lofty a goal. And so to give me 25 points for 1cc-ing Ikaruga doesn't really make too much sense to me.
Or they give you 100 points for beating Red Faction, which you probably didn't have to try nearly as hard
try
to do.
Try as hard. Invested. Well, I probably would. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right.
Yeah.
I would definitely invest more time 1cc-ing Ikaruga than even completing
Red
probably
Faction
probably 1,000 out of 1,000 from start to finish.
Sure.
So that kind of bothers me. And I don't think that's going to go away on this generation. Which is also interesting to think about. Will it someday go away? In other words, when the next Xbox comes out.
You mean the limit on arcade games or achievements in general?
Achievements in general. Or do you think that the next Xbox
Microsoft has essentially doomed themselves to have this system forever.
There's no way out of this, right? There's no way out of this. Unless there's like a subdirectory on your gamer tag that shows Xbox 360 games, where you can kind of look at it as like your history of games. You know what I mean?
Unless they move to something that's more tangible reward. The only way I think people will get out of this, the only way they'd get away with getting rid of achievements, well, they could just say it and just be like, fuck you, they don't have them. You know, you're gonna buy this system because it's either this or the PlayStation 4, which hasn't had trophies either.
I wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't, yeah. I think, well, you wouldn't. I think a lot of people would.
That's like taking away, that's like inventing the anal. It's like taking away Rumble.
No offense to these people because they are the driving force of the games industry, but a lot of soccer moms with their kids would buy a sequel console without achievement points.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids are, you know, young kids are not going to put the same stock in it that maybe, you know, the average gamer who is 30 years old does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no offense to those people. They, like I said, they are the monetary driving force in the games industry. So I think realistically they could get out of it.
See, I disagree.
You don't think so?
Only for one reason. Because the next generation of systems is going to be the first, I guarantee, because I'm not talking about Project Natal, because Project Natal is going to be an upgrade to the Xbox.
Yeah.
The next generation of systems is going to probably be 100% digital distribution. And I don't think very many people... I think that's going to kind of reboot games. Because I don't think there are going to be many people who aren't hardcore supporting the digitally distributed side, the digitally distributed side of the games. You know what I'm saying? In other words, how many soccer moms purchase games off WiiWare? How many even know that WiiWare exists?
Well, I don't mean soccer moms directly, but their families.
Right.
You know, they sign up for WiiWare with their credit card, and they just monitor their child's purchases.
Right.
No, I
mean, personally, what I see as being the total future of achievements is, do you remember back in the PlayStation days, and probably before, and Nintendo does something like this now, but definitely not to the extent that I'm talking about. Remember when you would buy a Capcom game?
Mm-hmm.
There was, on the back of the instruction booklet,
Fighter's Edge points.
Right,
yeah.
And you collected enough Fighter's Edge points, and what did you get with them?
Charlie really got into those.
I got into
he
those,
wanted the, he wanted this snowboard.
Okay,
so remember there was a snowboard, but it was a ridiculous amount of Fighter's Edge points.
So you buy crap with it. Did they ever offer stuff like, you know, $50 off another game?
No.
Okay, so
No, it was all like swag type stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Coffee mugs and shirts. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that the future of achievements is whatever video game company, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, whoever. Whoever one of those decides to leave their digital distribution system the most open in the future is going to be the most successful.
Open in terms of what is allowed on there? Or
open in terms of how much control a developer has over their store space.
Okay.
Online. And I don't think that's going to be Microsoft, because they're all about control.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look on Sony's PSN now...
Yeah, when you hear about stories of, like, my game is taking forever because I'm stuck in certification.
Right.
It's because Microsoft is dragging their ass and picking apart the game forever.
Right.
Yeah.
But they also don't give developers much control over their store space on Xbox Live. I mean,
no. It took what, 2 years to get that download thing removed?
And I think that's where Sony is way ahead of Microsoft. Because obviously Sony's getting their asses beat.
Yeah.
In every respect, this generation. So they're hungry. So the really creative stuff is starting to come out of Sony. And if you look on the PSN right now, Capcom has its own storefront where you go to a Capcom area.
I noticed that.
Games are there. Okay. So that to me is the first step.
I thought that was really cool.
It's great. It's amazing. You know, because I, for one, love Capcom games. Pretty much every game they put out, I love. So one of the places I went to was the Capcom store.
In terms of the hierarchy of the PlayStation store, it's really high. So if you want to get to Street Fighter, rather than going to PS3 games, all games, ST Street Fighter, you just go to Capcom and you know probably in fewer steps you'll get to the game you want to download for.
But I see achievements as being something in the future where developers could take advantage of achievements linked to a storefront on the network that they're on to do things like, say Capcom comes out with a game like Dead Rising.
Yeah.
Okay? And a few of the upper tier achievements are worth a certain amount of quote unquote Capcom credits.
Yeah.
Towards a new game.
Yeah.
Okay? How great is that for developers to be able to say, hey, if you like our games, you'll probably like our other games, first of all. But you also get a little bit of money off of it. I mean, the amount of money you could give people could be negligible. As long as people...
It's essentially free money.
It's free money.
Yeah.
As long as people feel that they're being gifted something, they're more likely to invest in the company again.
Yeah.
And...
Even if you don't get that achievement, you're like, hey man, at least they extended the offer. That's pretty cool.
That's true too.
And yeah.
But also, you could, if you think about it in the way that you could take a group of players from a series, okay, for instance, Gears of War 3. Say Gears of War 3 comes out, and it's the final one in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game's getting tired.
Yeah.
Which it already is with 2. Not that 2 isn't a great game. But I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with 3 to reinvigorate that series, let alone 4. Okay?
Yeah.
So after Gears of War 3, Microsoft's going to have a big hole in their third-person, first-person shooter-type genre. You know, what's the next big one going to be? Okay? And there are so many other competitors in that area of the market that it's going to be hard to get people to invest again in Microsoft unless they have a really kick-ass product. Okay? So if Microsoft had access to a credit system like this, they could sort of direct the audience of one game into another game that's just like Gears of War, is almost barely different, but different enough to feel different and reinvigorate players, but still be a third-person shooter, a gory thing, something that they'll like. And in that way, developers could steer entire audiences to whatever game they wanted. Or if they had a game that they knew wasn't going to be too good and they really wanted to discount it in an interesting way,
right,
they could steer entire audiences into that game.
That really ties into thinking about it. That ties into you to establishing your gamer personality with achievements. With the technology they have, they could easily monitor what achievements you have and say, well, look, this person unlocked quite a bit of Gears of War 2 or Gears of War 3. Let's put an ad on their dashboard for this other game.
Right.
And let's start directly marketing toward the people.
That's true.
Who, through their gamer score, through their achievements, obviously like these types of games.
Right.
I mean, people would say that's an affront to privacy. I think that's awesome.
Smart.
I'm going to want to hear about games that I like.
You know, right, as long as the actual marketing isn't invasive.
No, isn't intrusive to where it's like Wipeout HD, where it's on your loading screen and you're like...
Which they got rid of.
They got rid of very quickly.
Thank God.
No, but like, but when you, you know, if Thanks, you if yeah. you go boot up your 360 right now, what do you see? Beatles and McDonald's.
Neither, two things that I could care less about.
Right.
You know.
But let's say you could see, you know, here's a game that's like, you know, you see an ad for Bayonetta because it's kind of like EDF.
Right.
You may not play Bayonetta, but at least they're putting the effort to kind of show you.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I can't understand the fact that they already don't do that with my gamer history.
No, yeah.
Look at my gamer history. I obviously don't give a fuck about the Beatles.
It could just be that the infrastructure isn't quite there.
I don't think it is. I don't think they had planned for such a...
No. They had no idea what achievements were going to be.
But they didn't even know... I don't even think... Despite the fact that when you watch original Xbox 360 promos, their main thing is about connectivity with other people.
Right.
I don't think they understood how big the online presence was going to be and what it was going to necessitate for even the dashboard. You know, like, one of the funny things about Microsoft is... Because they don't necessarily have hard drives included, I read a lot about how difficult it is for them to upgrade and keep fresh the actual dashboard. Because they're having to shoehorn and rewrite it and include all these extra things and basically a set amount of space and memory.
Right.
Whereas the PS3, that's why you get those ridiculous updates every freaking week you turn on your system that take
People
like 30 minutes.
People bitch about those? I don't mind them.
God, I get them. I hate them. I mean,
maybe I wish Sony would hold the leash back a little bit and, you know, update once a month.
On the other hand, Microsoft never updates.
On the opposite, Microsoft updates twice a year and then they're delayed.
Yeah.
They get delayed weeks, a month, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind the Sony updates very much because they're usually not that long. And you kind of, I guess, maybe just kind of grow to expect them.
Right.
But I guess I at least see it as a sign that that somebody on the other end, someone's doing something.
Right. Instead of just making McDonald's ads.
Instead of making McDonald's ads. Right. I mean, like, you know, firmware 3.0 caused problems with Uncharted and some DualShock controllers, and they fixed that, you know, earlier this week. So at least someone somewhere is like, you know, I need to fix this. We need to fix this.
Well, we're going to be talking about something like this. But what do you think about the prospect in the news segment? But what do you think about the prospect of game developers integrating achievements with Facebook and Twitter? As someone who uses Facebook, at least,
I think it's the ripe time to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait
to point out. I haven't looked into it, and I kind of want to just to see what's there.
I cannot wait.
Giant Bomb features on their homepage,
right,
a way to tie your, I think, your WoW achievements, your gamer score, your trophies, and all this other, Steam, I don't know if that's in there or not.
It is.
You tie all that together. See, I can't believe that's not already huge.
It is pretty big on their site.
On their site, but I think with respect to, like, the internet.
I think it will be, and they know. You know, I'm not quite sure who thought of that idea.
So many people, because so many things are coming with their own achievements now.
Right.
Like, WoW.
There's got to be a way to tie
them
together.
World of Warcraft has, I think it's upwards of 900 achievements in there. And it's for a myriad of, some of them are random shit. Some of them are really cool, you get just by playing the game. Some of them you have to go out of your way for.
I don't think that we as gamers are ever going to get a unified achievement thing.
No, I think it'll have to be a third party.
I think what it's going to be is whatever social network is big at the time will most definitely be
integrated. Sony is not going to call Microsoft and be like, why don't we unify this? No, I think there will be a unification insofar as, like you said,
Twitter.
A third party, Twitter, Facebook. And then, I mean, as an aside, I think Facebook will outlast Twitter, but that's...
So do
that's,
I.
That's,
well, you know what? I think both... Actually, not to get too far off topic, but I think Facebook's here to stay.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a MySpace type thing where it gets old in a few years because it's basically
past that point.
It's government sponsored.
It's already gone past that point.
Right. And it's a tool for much more than the consumer.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Obama definitely wants Facebook in your home.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, the government's very interested in your status updates. But Twitter is also interesting because Twitter to me is almost like the de facto homepage for you now. I don't know if you think about it the same way, but I really have found that most people consider that to be their space on the internet. More so than Facebook. Facebook is almost like...
It's a
family. Right. Facebook is basically an archive for what you did.
Sure.
You know, I post shit on there all the time that I'm going to want to remember the next day or next week.
Yeah.
Because it archives it all, it's cool. I can go back.
Yeah.
Twitter is basically everyone's new homepage. And I think their goal is to get everyone on there.
I have one. I don't use it. And I guess I just haven't.
I don't use it too much either. But I mean, I wouldn't use a homepage if I had one. But
no,
I shouldn't say that.
I do use it. I have a couple Twitters that update to my phone. Just because it's interesting. You know, like bands, I like to hear it.
Yeah.
Now, if a band is particularly active on Twitter, it's just kind of cool because you know that that person just typed that out.
Well, if they integrate achievements with it, I know a lot of people who would get Twitter.
Oh, like, you know, at RC Paskus just got this achievement in
right.
Twitters.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
That would be really cool.
That
would be really cool.
Yeah, and if it did it to your Facebook also on your
status update, yeah.
That's amazing, man. Dude, if I could that's all I want to tell people anyway, but these people don't care. So if I had an excuse to make them see, like, hey, it's automatic. I didn't post it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, that's all I want.
I think they would be receptive to it. I mean, how many freaking people play Farmville and, you know, it's just like Farmville updates. Where,
it is.
You know,
that's true.
So
I guess
and
a lot
so,
of people.
So-and-so just did this in Mafia Wars or Farmville or whatever.
Farmville, great game.
It's just that, yeah, Farmville.
I have played a lot of Farmville. I forgot to include that in what we've been playing this week.
Yeah, that's always going to be what you've been playing. But I guess maybe it's just the avenue that those people arrived at those games that makes it okay for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But to get kind of to jump back a couple steps, no, using achievements, I was sort of coming up with my own ideas. You know, we didn't really talk about this topic. And I think going forward,
no.
Usually the editorial topics we won't really discuss prior.
No, it's way more interesting if we go into it blind.
I was coming up with my own ideas, and that was exactly something I thought up. Achievements used for online purchases. You know, maybe you get access to a DLC pack a couple days before other people if you have this certain achievement unlocked.
Hmm.
Or you get a discount off that DLC, or you get a discount off this game by the same publisher or developer. Some people might look at that as sort of an elitist type thing. As long as the content that you get, you know, as long as the content is accessible to everyone eventually,
yeah,
I think people are willing to wait. Willing to put up with that content.
That makes sense. And I thought of something that was just like that. But I came to the conclusion that that wouldn't happen only because the free, quote unquote, free money that they're giving you.
Yeah.
Well, they're not really giving you free money, I guess, are they?
It's free until you act on it.
You're just allowing access.
It's like a replacement. Oh, you're talking about like early access?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just sort of a nice bonus where it's like, and they can announce it ahead of time. They could say, we have a new map pack coming out next week. If you get these achievements, and maybe the achievements are get 50 kills on all of the maps.
Right.
You get access to the map pack 3 days early or a week early or whatever.
Right.
I think it'd be nice.
It's interesting because the one thing that I thought was important to what I said was that they would have to offset the free money aspect of it with DLC. In other words, like, no company, I don't care who you are, is going to give away money, regardless of how minimal it sounds to the consumer. You know, $4 or $5 off the next Bionic Commando game doesn't sound like much to tempt someone to buy it.
But when a million people
get
$5 off,
that. Right,
it's
exactly.
$5 million.
So they're definitely going to want to offset the cost of what I was talking about with DLC. So yeah, they kind of want to, I would think they would want to tie those achievements into multiplayer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I don't mean necessarily that both of those occur, but just ideas.
Yeah.
Like
no, that's really interesting.
Ideas that to add another layer to the reason for getting achievements, as if there weren't enough already.
Early access is really interesting. What would be the drive though for the company to do that? In other words, like just to get more people interested in the DLC, I guess, because more people would be like. I bet you there'd be a percentage of people who would buy it.
Who would buy it because they got it early.
And there's no other reason they'd buy it, I bet.
And there's a percentage of people who would buy it, or at least, I guess, a good PR move. You know, spread. I mean, I'd be like, that's pretty cool that they did that.
That's cool, too. I agree.
Maybe it's, you know, maybe they don't do it for, like, Fallout 3 level updates
right.
where it's, like, another 4 hours of the game. But if they're bringing out...
Maps.
Another map.
Map packs, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
I was watching an interview today on Giant Bomb that Brad Shoemaker did with the Call of Duty... Well, I guess he's just the Infinity Ward community manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he goes by 402. and he was talking about specifically how much they disliked multiplayer achievements. And I would just like
that's
to bring
really
that
interesting
up.
Coming from Infinity Ward.
Exactly. Exactly. Because they have some of the most complex achievement systems outside of Warcraft. In terms of like leveling up and giving stats and bonuses to your characters. So
you
could really easily integrate tons of achievements into that system, but they really choose not to because they understand how ridiculous it is. And I would just like to say that is amazing. And like seriously, hats off to them.
I think they're confident enough in that with their
multiplayer
leveling up, you know, boost, you know, perks and stuff like that.
They got you.
That is your reward for doing multiplayer. You know, the reward for single player is the achievements.
Yeah. Yeah. Kudos to them.
But you're right, that's really interesting from that developer.
Because just to let them know, if by any chance anyone from them ends up listening to this podcast, that statement that he made has 100% turned me around from not wanting to get that game to wanting to actually buy it now.
Modern Warfare 2?
I will actually buy the game now. I watched a few videos.
That's a PR thing. I mean, it would tie into people getting early access to stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think... One last thing I think I want to hit on before we wrap this up and get to some news. Do you think that they'll integrate, perhaps in the next generation, a meta achievement system?
Like what?
Like you get a meta achievement for having 100 achievements.
Like, well, PS3 does that now.
Or do they really?
I didn't know that. Not really, but the way their level up system works.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is kind of. Yeah. That's a little different. I think to be perfectly honest, I hate the trophy system.
Me too.
It's a complete slapdash effort. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, they didn't have it.
I feel bad for them because they had to create something.
Oh, I totally feel bad for them.
They had to create something that differentiated them.
Yeah, they couldn't have just done like the whole like
achievement points.
Little Sony logo with like achievement unlocked. You know,
right. Although, I really do like the leveling up aspect in it.
Yeah.
And I like
that it's an idea.
Number.
I hate that it's not as easily integrated. Not as tightly integrated.
If that had come out on Xbox, if Sony had come out with that system first, I bet you would look at Xboxes as ridiculous.
You'd look at it as simple.
It's only because you invested so much into the Xbox system that you know, it's cognitive dissonance. Like, you're looking at this PS3 one, because I do it too. You know, I look at the PS3 one and I'm like, it's just ridiculous. I don't want to get involved in this. For two reasons. One, I already invested so much time in the Xbox. That I don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah.
And two, accepting the PS3 trophy system is basically dooming myself to having to spend hours and hours with a whole new set of games.
That's also true. But
you know what I mean?
I just think that the Xbox Live experience is built, designed around the integration of the gamer score. I mean, when you log in, you see
a great
big thing with your gamer score on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your player rating. PS3, you see a sleek menu system. It doesn't.
You have to dig for it.
You kind of have to dig for it, and then you have to. Yeah, it doesn't. It's not as tightly integrated, and I feel bad that it isn't.
Still interesting.
No, the leveling is kind of, I guess, it's a nod to that. I think in terms of the evolution of where achievements.
So what would
go,
they give you achievements for that you're saying?
You get an achievement for unlocking 50 total achievements across any game.
Across any. Oh, okay.
All games. So
and
like,
is that achievement point? Or is that achievement worth points?
Sure. Yeah. But then they could have a little more esoteric, like, have, you know, tied to developers. Have this achievement from Halo 3 and this achievement from ODST, and you get this achievement.
Oh, yeah, that's really smart, too. You could snake a lot of people into other products with that, also.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't even have to involve money.
Mm-mm.
That's tricky, too.
Have a lot of stuff like that, you know, tie across, you know, SNK products or whatever, any developer.
Right, right.
Or EA games. EA would eat that up. Big time, I think.
Oh, that's why they have... Well, they're trying to have their own system. Everyone wants their own online space, and it's not going to happen. Because I don't want to have a Steam and an EA direct-to-drive.
Oh, are you kidding me? I was already pissed off when I had Metal Gear Solid 4, and I was like, create a Konami account. I was like, I already have a PS account.
And now Blizzard, you know, they're trying to get Battle.net into its own system. Like,
they have specifically said Battle.net's going to outdo achievements.
Right. You know...
Can you just leave it alone?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
With it?
They really need to just do it like you're talking about... roundabout, like meta, you know?
Yeah.
An achievement system within an achievement system to kind of act as their storefront. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot more sense because, like I said earlier, I think it's way too hopeful to, you know, suggest that one day all achievements are going to be unified in any way other than that. you know?
Not unless gaming becomes such a ubiquitous thing in society to where it somehow is like, it's part of who you are.
Someday.
I mean, it might be someday, but we're talking generations from now.
Maybe.
But that would say, in terms of the future of achievements, the only alternative you could think of would be they make them worth more points, which I think is
right.
A terrible idea, because then you're just going to feel like all your 360 games aren't worth shit.
You might as well just start over again.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, but yeah, anything else about achievements?
I like achievements.
I like them a lot.
You know what actually I'm interested in? And if anyone listens to this and writes this in, the answer to this, I'd be excited. What do you think Halo ODST's achievements? I mean, I guess we could just look at it, but I was just wondering.
I purposely haven't, because I'm really interested to see what they are.
I wonder if they're going to have any online achievements other than Firefight. In other words, are they going to add
Is there anything other than Firefight in this game?
Well, there's the whole Halo 3 campaign, the whole Halo 3 multiplayer. Like a disc comes with ODST that's got the whole, so you can throw your Halo 3 disc away now. And this,
unless I want to play the single player campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
And this disc that comes with it is going to have every map pack they've released so far.
I did not even know this.
Yeah. So it's totally going to get people, me, into Halo 3 again.
Wow.
But do you think they're going to have any new achievements for the online component of Halo 3?
I wouldn't Firefight. Surprise me if they didn't, because they've had new achievements for the previous map pack. I think they did it twice.
Yeah.
Because I had 1,000 and I have 1,000, and now I'm 1,000
and
I have 1,250.
No, they won't, for sure. Because now that I remember it, when they updated Halo 3 last, one of the updates, or some of the achievements reference maps that aren't going to come out until ODST comes out.
So they're already there.
So you won't. So it'll probably just be Firefight and single player.
So technically they did, but it's not coming with the game.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. That's it. I like achievements a lot.
All right, I think we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with some news. For our final segment, we'll get into some news. What do you got?
Right, so these are all news articles that I picked out, kind of personal, and when Sean reads his, just to let you guys know, it's kind of his personal news choices also.
Yeah.
I have a few from a week or two ago, actually, but because they were so important to me, or I felt video games in general, I thought I should bring them up again in case anyone hasn't heard, because they were kind of under the radar in terms of, you know, main news coverage, or at least discussion. First of all, Doom 2 has been announced for Xbox Live Arcade, and the release date is Holiday 09. I really liked Doom 1 for XBLA. Didn't really like the achievements so much, but I liked playing through Doom again since it was on my list of top favorite 10 games ever.
The reason I didn't download it.
Because of the achievements?
I looked at the achievements and I didn't like them.
Achievements are terrible. No one's playing multiplayer Doom
anymore. No.
But apparently there's supposed to be some new added levels and content by Bethesda. And it is random. I know, that's why I included it, right? And also included in that news was that it was approved by Carmack himself, the added content, which is kind of interesting. Apparently they think there's a few Doom purists on XBLA that wouldn't have bought it otherwise had they heard it was not approved by Carmack, which is kind of interesting to me. But I'm definitely going to buy that game because it gets a double barrel shotgun. And
I'll probably get that one because I spent way more time with Doom 2 than one.
Yeah.
Way more.
Really?
Wait.
I don't really like the music as much, but I did play it a lot more.
Yeah.
I did too. Another thing, video game called Captain Forever. A new trailer was announced, which we are going to put on our website on the front page, the only page. And it's a game by a game designer named Farbs. You may have heard of Farbs a while ago. He was the gentleman that quit his job by hacking and rewriting a Mario ROM. That his boss basically played through, and once he reached the end, he understood that his employee quit. Kind of interesting. If you go to farbs.org, he has the beta setup, and it's kind of an interesting pay structure that he has, which a lot of you might want to look into. It's really just a Flash game, but you pay $20 for a subscription to the beta, which guarantees you updates and the full game when it's released.
So you're basically buying the game, but you get to play it while it's being worked on.
Right, or you could wait until the game is released officially by him, and it's free. Kind of interesting,
That's
right?
That's really interesting.
It's really interesting. And since he's his lone developer, really, I think him and a music guy, I just thought that was a really interesting model.
Yeah.
So anyone who's interested by that model of a marketplace should go check it out. Farbs.org, that's Farbs, like it sounds.org. It's kind of a cool game. It looks a little bit like Geometry Wars. The aesthetic of Geometry Wars with a little bit of what looks like Banjo and Kazooie nuts and bolts construction. So it looks like, I don't really know too much about the game and I haven't played it myself and not that much information was known about it, so don't yell at me, but he only released a few trailers that showed really cryptic glimpses at the gameplay. And it looks kind of like a twin stick shooter with some building your ship components and destroying other ships and collecting their parts and including them on yours and fighting, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
So it looks kind of interesting, but you should check that out. Other than that, Dust and Elysian Tale just recently won the XNA Award development at PAX. That is the game. Have you seen that game?
Yeah.
Are you interested in it?
Very.
Looks ridiculous.
Very good. Very much.
The developer, I don't want to mispronounce his name, but Dean Dodrill? Whatever. He was awarded some $40,000 for that game.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of sick.
From what I saw, he deserves it.
Hey, man, that's, if not more, right? That's like, that's a $40,000 game for sure. Hopefully that game comes out soon because I'm really interested in it. And, hey, we don't have that Wii game. What's it called?
Muramasa.
Muramasa?
Yeah, Demon Blade.
I'm not going to bust my Wii out just to play that, so.
Sorry, Shane.
Sorry, Shane. Unless that gets ported to XBLA, then it looks like Dust is going to be my 2D
Fix.
Battler.
Yeah, awesome.
Another game that I saw that I didn't really hear anything about is, I guess it was originally called Tower of Shadow, but they just changed the name to Lost in Shadow, made by Hudson for the Wii.
No.
You didn't see it?
No.
Think Ico?
It's for the Wii? Didn't
or Ico, what do you say?
Ico.
Oh, really? Okay, well.
I used to say Ico, but then.
I like Ico better, but say Ico. Picture Ico with same type of visuals, same type of gameplay almost, actually. But your character is invisible, and you can only see, you can only judge your jumps and puzzle solving based on his shadow cast by the various light sources in the room. Yeah.
It's a really simple twist, but immediately thinking about it, you're like, wow.
It looks really interesting. We're also going to put a video of that on the webpage for anyone who's interested, because it's something that kind of blows your mind, because you've never seen anything quite like it before. That's definitely going to be kind of cool. Also, Daft Punk and DJ Hero, I got to see some of those screens and video, and I had to talk about it since I like Daft Punk, and so does Sean.
Yep.
What do you think about it?
I don't like
it. Are you going to buy the game?
Nope.
Me neither.
But you know what? I wasn't going to buy it already.
Me neither.
I'm doubly not going to buy it because...
looks like that backfired for them.
That is total fan service of the worst kind.
Yeah.
And I don't... When you have a game called DJ Hero and you put in DJ Shadow, okay, that's a plus.
All right.
You put in Cut Chemist, plus.
Okay.
You put in Daft Punk, who aren't DJs.
No, not
They're
really.
They're musicians. It's just because they stood at the top of a friggin' pyramid for a year, and Kanye West lost his mind over it.
Right.
I don't...
To me, it's more a matter of
I'm not even approaching it from, like, you're fucking with my artist, my band. It's just they don't have a place in that game.
Yeah, neither does a lot of the music that they're mixing.
Then they go and they add 11 songs that involve Daft Punk into that game. 11.
What do you mean?
There are, you know, like...
Are they Daft Punk songs or mixed?
DJ Hero, basically, almost all the songs, now they tout 100 songs.
Right.
But they're all, so I understand, they're all mashups.
Right.
Of two songs.
Right. Like Queen...
11 of the mashups involve Daft Punk.
Huh.
But it's 11 different tracks, but it's only like 4 Daft Punk. Like there's One More Time,
right?
3 times with 3 different
right.
artists.
That's weird. Well, they obviously are. I mean, we talked about this off mic, but it seems to me that some people who are, you know, just by virtue of being a little older than the generation they're marketing to, don't quite understand who they're marketing to. They think they know who they're marketing
to. It seems like a case that is stereotypical, like, the kids are into that Daft Punk, right. aren't they? Put right. them in the game.
Which is a much easier way to explain it.
Yeah.
right.
Not
right.
Yeah, but yeah, but it's, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it looks really cool, I think. I think the graphics actually look pretty interesting. I think they did them justice in the game, if that stands for anything.
It looks interesting, I think.
But the bottom line is I could watch the video and get pretty much as much as
I
want.
Yeah,
I have no desire to learn an entire new fake instrument.
Or I'll listen to Daft Punk.
Yeah. Or probably watching their Alive DVDs.
Or watch the Alive footage or anything that they've created other than the game.
So DJ Hero, big thumbs down, I guess. Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to buy that, no offense. Also, since we're talking about it, I really got to mention it. Activision CEO, CFO, Bobby Kotick? Kotick?
Yeah.
Really don't like him. Just thought I'd drop that out there. Have you heard what he said recently?
No, I don't listen to him. He said something once about a year ago, and I wrote him off.
He recently was just quoted as saying it was his goal. This is kind of a loose...
I know what you're going
to
say.
But he was suggesting that he wanted to take the fun out of video games and remove consoles from the equation. And
yeah.
I really didn't like what he said.
I remember he said, to be sure, future Activision products will not require a console. Which is basically like they're going to turn something into a platform.
Did you hear about the fun quote, though?
No, I didn't hear about
that. I suggest everyone Kotaku this up, and because I know that's where I read the story originally.
It's probably in there, and I glossed over because I don't listen to that.
Yeah, he is definitely the new Jack Thompson, the new devil. You know, I've never seen so many...
And he's in the industry.
And he's in the industry, yeah. He's actually...
With a man of influence.
Probably considered one of the leaders in the industry.
Sure.
It's scary to think about how much power this idiot actually has. Have you seen his picture on, I think it was Time or...
I only can conjure up the Kotaku picture from holding that guitar.
He dresses like a Robin Williams character. I don't really know how to put it, you know?
Look at...
Like a big man boy with, you know, like a bow tie, like... Unless you're a total badass.
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Exactly. Unless you're a total psycho or a badass, you know, like John Malkovich, I don't think you can get away with wearing a bow tie in today's world. And he's definitely not as cool or insane as John Malkovich.
No.
Also, more news. Castlevania Rebirth was announced. Kind of upset at this because I don't really like the Rebirth series. You know, Konami's one of my favorite developers ever. And... You know, to put it pretty concisely, what I really don't like about the Rebirth series is whoever's in charge of the games, I think is under the impression that just because they're pixels, they need to look kitty or childlike.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make much sense when you consider the fact that these games are for people who've played them before. So an older generation
people
of
people. People who probably don't own a Wii.
Well, people who, number one, probably don't own a Wii. But number two, people who remember these games as being a little bit darker. I mean, Gradius, granted, I understand that game is a little goofy. Gradius 3 did look a little bizarre. You know, there's giant stone heads shooting radioactive Cheerios at you. It doesn't really look necessarily all that gritty and realistic. But
Contra
at least tried to, or you could tell they were attempting it. In the Super Nintendo days, they
and
tried
Castlevania.
To make. And Castlevania was one of the darkest.
Zombies,
games.
Werewolves, vampires, you know, dimly lit.
Especially for
corridors.
Super Nintendo, which you know this game is going to kind of represent in terms of look,
graphical level. Yeah.
There hasn't been any haven't been any screenshots for this game yet, but I don't know. I can't get really too excited about it because the other Rebirth games just kind of stunk. It's specifically Contra stunk. It's one of the worst Contra inceptions I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
Should have talked about it, but... Also, the Wii, it is rumored...
It's all but confirmed at this point, I think.
Right, is going to have a price drop. Which upsets me because had I waited until now, I could have saved $50 on buying a system that I still don't play. Right?
Yeah. I'm not going to buy one.
Yeah.
$150, it might enter my mind. I think I'm gonna. I might have to GameCube this one and wait till it's $99 to even think about it.
Sin Punishment 2.
Maybe.
Sin and Punishment 2 is the only reason I still have my Wii, period. I know that if I sell it, I'm just gonna end up paying more in the long run buying it again, so really I might as well just keep it and wait for Sin and Punishment 2, which Treasure is just, they must be laughing right now developing that game, because I don't understand what else they could be doing. It looks almost done from all the video I've seen. Granted, we haven't seen too many levels, but please just put that game out so I can get rid of my Wii. Please.
Play it.
Please. Let's see. Oh, Tatsunoko versus Capcom, a game that I didn't want until very recently. Which is funny, because I just made fun of the Wii.
Same with me.
But a couple of hidden characters were announced for that they found by digging in the code of the website. Frank from Dead Rising.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. I really actually want to see what he looks like. And Zero from the Mega Man series. Along with a couple other Japanese characters.
There's another character I don't remember.
I refuse to remember.
Yeah.
Something like Techno Man or...
They're not, you're not going to...
Night Ranger, Rider, whatever. Yeah, right, it doesn't even matter. It's probably an Asian man in a suit.
Yeah.
That's angular.
Yeah.
And tight.
It makes a lot of arm gestures.
Right.
Yeah.
Not that that's not cool. Yeah. I've been watching.
We're just
a lot,
making assumptions.
I've been watching a lot of Gatchaman lately. But that game actually moved up on my list. But something that's interesting is, I was always under the assumption that that game was going to get a 360 port, because that's what Capcom had hinted at a while ago, but I recently read an interview where they said that they probably weren't going to port it to Xbox or Xbox Arcade even, that instead the sequel will probably be on Xbox and the PS3.
Jeez.
Which is cool, but now it kind of stinks because I'm going to have to buy this for my Wii.
Yeah.
Another news article. Crackdown 2 will have helicopters.
That's it.
Some scans were leaked, and in particular the Game Informer with Crackdown 2 on the cover. And I looked at the scans. I was dangerous and dug out those scans on the internet. And they really... I love Crackdown. Let it be said. Right? You do too.
Yeah.
Both of us love Crackdown, but... And I'm not saying anything negative, but this game doesn't really look very different than the original Crackdown.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't look like they did anything to it graphically. What's interesting is they used some comparison shots to try and, you know,
illustrate
show
what's changed.
Exactly.
And all you see is what hasn't changed.
What hasn't changed, right? And, yeah. You know, they have a few close-ups of some character models, and with the exception of the armor on your actual character, which looks pretty badass.
If Fallout 3 were a color, they added that color to Crackdown.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all that they did was just, like, grunge it up.
I could see that, yeah. That is true. But it still looks pretty bright.
I'm probably still going to buy it.
Well, there's no way I won't buy it.
I mean, unless they tell me they got rid of orbs, I'll buy it.
They already confirmed them.
Yeah, it's in the screenshot, so.
It is in the screenshot, so.
Yeah.
Orbs and helicopters in Crackdown, that's for sure.
I look forward to leaping from helicopters.
Right. Interesting for me, at least, is that in a recent interview on the BBC, Pink Floyd, some members, basically said that they might be interested in a game similar to the Beatles' Rock Band, which, to me, I think they should have done instead of the Beatles' Rock Band, because first of all, I don't really like the Beatles, but if any one band is associated with interesting visuals that could be translated and improved upon,
yeah,
by, you know, turning them into video games, or at
sure.
least 3D background,
sure.
you know, updating them. It's Pink Floyd, or Tool, but it's Pink Floyd. I would love to play The Wall.
Yeah. I think any band out of most bands that sort of embody that mysticism of rock.
What about Led Zeppelin?
Vibe that Rock Band and
I don't like the Led Zeppelin idea.
No, I don't either. But
there's not too much visually.
In terms of the cool street cred, like cool factor.
Yeah.
Pink Floyd, I think, is a much better choice than pretty much any of the games that have already come out.
Yeah.
Dedicated to a band.
And it makes sense. I mean, I mentioned this to someone else, and they kind of showed some disdain, and they were a little upset that Pink Floyd would quote unquote lower themselves and be in a video game. This is someone who doesn't really play video games very much, so I was already upset at what they said. But I think it was Mason of Floyd actually said that And it makes a lot of sense. They really aren't finding many spaces to sell their music nowadays. And it's not that Pink Floyd has lost any, you know, credit. No. Not, you know, everyone still thinks they're a great band, but really the only way they can support them and the only way you really see it in popular culture and them being supported is through t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, Hot Topic t-shirts. Yeah. So I can appreciate the fact that an older band like this needs another outlet to sell their music because the album's dead, you know?
Yeah.
More news. King of Fighters Sky Stage. I got to see some video of that today on Kotaku/YouTube, which I think we'll post on the website.
Why not?
Yeah. It looks kind of interesting. It looks a lot like Shikigami no Shiro, and it moves pretty slow, and I don't know if that was because it was at a consumer show, but it looks better than I thought it would. When I initially saw the screenshots like a year ago, it looked a lot worse. And those screenshots coupled with the absurdity of the premise really did not make me want the game very much. But watching this shoulder cam view, it actually looked pretty decent. I'm kind of interested in it.
I think the fact that the ships, quote-unquote the ships, the people, are King of Fighters characters is completely irrelevant. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Well, you know what? I thought so too, but did you watch the whole video?
Yeah, they have, like, battles, like, and you do, like...
That's kind
of
cool.
Like, Kyo does, like, his flame moves when he
gets
close.
Cool.
No, I like that.
That's kind of cool.
But people...
You could have done
But people
ship.
Dogging on it because...
Oh, yeah,
why
that's
is
irrelevant.
He flying?
That's
like,
irrelevant.
That, it doesn't matter.
Some of...
It's cool. It's a neat idea.
Yeah. They definitely aped it from Cave, you know, the whole flying guy thing. But still, it's cool.
Yeah. From that game, whose name I'm not even going to pretend to know how to say.
Which one?
Okay.
Espera? I don't know how to say Esperade. That one. Espeluda, I know how to say, but
yeah.
So much of these games I only see.
Yeah, you
and
never
don't talk about
and you never have to talk to anybody about them.
Right.
Yeah.
Such as the shooter community. Yeah.
Or Shikigami.
Or Shikigami, yeah.
Which I could have gone with.
So that looks actually kind of interesting, and I kind of want to play that. And more news. Uncharted looks like they're going to integrate some of the
this
games.
This doesn't apply to me, but I really like... Like, I thought this was really cool, what you were about to talk about.
Oh, the Uncharted Twitter?
Yeah.
It was found out some of the ways in which Uncharted is going to integrate itself with your Twitter, which I wasn't too interested in until I checked it out. It looks like they are going to allow Twitter updates whenever you connect to a multiplayer game, whenever a cinema file is uploaded, so that's probably like their Halo 3 type recording.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a chapter is completed, so that's going to allow you, obviously, to show your progress off to your friends. When earning multiplayer money, which I'm not quite sure the mechanics of the game, but could be interesting.
I haven't researched it much to know what that is.
When earning trophies, which is pretty cool, and when reaching a level milestone, whatever that is. What's interesting to note about these is you can turn them on or off, not the whole bunch.
Which is nice.
Which is definitely cool because some of these could get tedious on your Twitter or Facebook, especially if you're more of a minimalist Twitterer.
Well, especially if you have a lot of friends who play games and use Twitter and have a PS3 and will buy Uncharted 2.
Right.
Which
could get messy.
But the way I just described it sounds ridiculous, but I don't think it's all that
But it makes sense that you would be friends on Twitter with those
your
people.
Phone and your Twitter is just going to be a buzz for weeks.
Right.
Like, bling, this person did this. This person did
exactly.
So it's nice you can turn it off.
Yeah, that is definitely nice. I'm kind of into it. I'm kind of interested, actually. Actually, if more PS3 games, you know, it looks like PS3 is going to be the first one who has properly integrated Twitter / Facebook updates. And I got to tell you, this actually made me want to play the game. I wanted to experience it, but I know that Xbox games were going to get priority in my time to game because of their achievements.
Yeah.
But the fact that this has sort of another layer of achievements like we were just talking about actually in the previous segment. It makes me want to play it more than I ever wanted to before. So, you know, kudos to them, man. That's really smart.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter very much. I haven't gotten the hook of it yet, I guess, but I thought this was really interesting and I liked it because it represents an interesting step forward into the integration of your online persona with your gaming persona and sort of trying to unify all these different avenues that you express yourself.
Yeah, games are definitely at the very, 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 very front edge.
And I think
that.
Unfortunately a lot of people will look at Naughty Dog and go, what the hell are you doing this for?
Like they people that don't get it, honestly.
I think they won't jump on board with the fact that it's not so much that this is happening, but this is happening, so what will happen next?
Right.
What will the next, you know...
Right.
When will I be able to directly upload to YouTube through all my games?
Yeah. A few games do that now.
Yeah.
But Little Big Planet does that?
Yes.
Something else does that. That's kind of a big game that I didn't know did it. Doesn't Pixel Junk Eden do it, I think?
I don't remember. You're right, though. It's shame on us for not remembering that.
Yeah. And finally, my last news item, which is probably the biggest one. a couple weeks ago, it was rumored that the sequel to Earth Defense Force 2017 was going to possibly come out as an Xbox Live Arcade title. So this made me kind of upset, just because I thought maybe the game won't be as complete, so to speak, with as many options or as many weapons or as many stages, and I got a little upset. But pretty quickly after that rumor started, they released a press release that corrected it in a way. D3's publisher, Nobuyuki Okajima, says, "It would be nice if we could release a new Xbox Live compatible EDF." So you have to assume what he's trying to say is downloadable guns, maybe downloadable levels, maybe downloadable something, maybe, as opposed to an entire arcade game.
Online co-op.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm saying that as a bonus.
I don't think they're going to do that. I hope they don't. I like playing it.
It is fun playing.
It's way more fun playing with somebody. You know, technology's come pretty far, but I remember them talking about just how stupidly difficult it was to keep track of all of those enemies' places on both characters' screens at the same time, regardless of internet connection.
But it would be interesting to have a firefight-esque mode.
Oh, yeah, that'd be really cool.
Type that you could all...
Oh, God, that'd be really cool, yeah. The whole game's basically just firefight.
It is, but I mean, if it never ended.
Right.
You know, didn't have it, yeah.
So I'm kind of happy because hopefully that means we get a complete game as opposed to a XBLA game.
Yeah.
Whenever it comes out.
Reduced achievements and reduced content.
Right. That's it.
So for news? I only have a couple things to bring up. There's a shooter I haven't played on PSN, but I like hearing when new shooters are coming out, shmups, just because I'd like to see that genre is still relatively alive. Soldier X2 Final Prototype, sequel to the PSN shmup Zoldner. Zoldner 2.
Say the Germans. I don't know German, so.
I looked this up. It's really funny. I tried to Google the pronunciation so I wouldn't fuck it up.
Play Asia.
Zoldner X2 Final Prototype, sequel to Zoldner X. Not going to try and pronounce the subtitle on that one.
Himmelstürmer? I don't know.
Himmelstürmer, probably. Yeah. Stürmer. Will be making its way to the PSN platform this winter. Exclusively for PS3, so it won't be coming out on the PC.
I don't want to sound ignorant, but I've never played this game because it looks so mediocre. But it's still cool that it's announced.
Well, the sequel only has... all I saw with the sequel was a logo. Right. I haven't seen anything else associated with
it.
So hopefully they take a few pages from the internet, from what they learned on the first game. Because as far as I know, that was that developer's first shooter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, most definitely.
Also to note real quick, and this video is already on the site, there is some video of Kix +++ for XBLA and Raystorm HD,
which
you can check out, which looks a little bit iffy.
Which looks iffy?
Both, actually.
Oh, I like Raystorm. I think Raystorm could be cool.
Raystorm looks appropriate.
I'm interested.
A little weird.
I and a lot of other people are interested in how they're going to... I don't know how to say this. how they're going to make Raystorm work on a 16:9 display?
No, I've actually considered turning my TV sideways for Raiden because I can't stand playing.
Well,
it.
No, think about. I mean, the way Raystorm plays is it plays on basically a regular TV screen size display, so like a 4:3 display.
Yeah.
And you have to move your ship left and right and have access to the entire screen. So when you change the
aspect ratio.
Change the aspect ratio, are you creating new game space to fly in, and then are you creating new enemies, or are you just going to create invisible boundaries that you can't go into on widescreen?
Oh, that's right. I forgot that's how that game worked.
Right. It's really bizarre. So no one really knows, and it's not really apparent in the videos how it's going to work.
The ship doesn't move far enough on
exactly.
the screen to... Yeah.
So I'm kind of interested to see how that ends up. And Kix is... a fucking great game.
I just think it's so ridiculous that's coming out.
It's amazing. That's proof, if anything, is that I control reality with
that.
That
and Tetris got the most play on the Game Boy for me.
Kix was amazing, but you know, this XBLA version looks surprisingly shitty.
Looks a little amateurish.
God, does it look shitty? It looks like an indie game. Couldn't they make it amazing looking? Like, imagine a...
Like Pac-Man Z.
Yeah, or a...
That's like, exactly what I thought. It was like neon-y type line art.
It'd be amazing. Or like a Geometry Wars-esque.
Or, yeah.
Or every Extend Extra-esque. I would never stop playing Kicks.
I don't know who's developing Kicks Plus Plus. I should have looked, but...
Hopefully they get killed and someone else has to take over.
It's probably a C-level, D-level developer that just got...
You know what's really interesting is with my limited, and I mean... By limited, I mean no knowledge at all. My limited knowledge of game design and programming, I could probably still make Kicks, and you could probably still design a better front end for it than what was in that video.
And
I know nothing about programming. Because the gameplay itself can't be that difficult to program, right?
No, but it looks like they have... The video shows a little bit of weird sort of a gameplay thing going on where like the guy like cordons off the area of the game board.
There's a percentage or something?
And there's like a... Well, there's like a little explosion that happens and these little like missiles, colored missiles fly
around. Oh, it hurts the Kicks.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. That's what it is. And I think it's just another way to create... I think they needed explosions to make people
interested. And I figured that... I figured there'd be some kind of new additional little like...
Gimmick.
Yeah, boom boom rocket looking fireworks thing going on.
Because I watched the video a couple times and it still looks the same. You're quartering off.
It's the same, yeah. You're eating away at a game space to where you trap the Kicks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really small thing to note, Wipeout HD and Fury together are being bundled together and released on Blu-ray to be sold at retail.
Wow, that's really cool.
It's not anything remarkable, but I think it's really cool. I'm really curious to see...
Wouldn't it be cool if that game did really well in retail?
As far as I can tell from the article that I pulled this from, it's only being released in Europe, which just kind of makes sense because I think Wipeout's always enjoyed somewhat of a following in Europe,
but still.
More so than other areas of the planet. Well, Psygnosis was a European developer.
I don't know.
And Studio Liverpool, UK. So.
But you know that after this Christmas, the PS3 is going to be a much more serious contender, right?
Sure.
Okay, and you know a lot more people are going to have PS3s, right?
Yeah.
Probably a lot more PS2 users or PS1 users.
It's a PS3 disc, so you can import it and play it. You can play your own PS3 games.
That's true. I still wish that they...
It'd be nice if it comes out in the U.S., and the reason that I put this as newsworthy is I hope it sort of reinvigorates the online play a little bit. Yeah. It would be nice to see a lot of people playing that game. Because it is really good.
It's an amazing game. If you haven't bought the Fury Pack, you really should at this point. It's fucking amazing. I totally took for granted how in-depth it was until I decided to buy it and watched a co-op's special on it. Man.
What's really interesting is, have you ever gone back, have you ever switched the menus back to the HD?
I didn't know you could.
You can do it in options. You can switch it back to HD.
When you do it, you are
immediately not happy. I did it, and I was like, I already hate this. Like, I need that black and red awesome.
Yeah, the front end looks amazing. It looks fucking sick, man.
One
more thing. I really wish, I know this is, I don't know, it's hopeful, but I really would somehow like to see that game perform on retail shelves in America, just to see if there's an audience for it still.
Yeah.
Like, I wish Psygnosis or Sony would just, because, you know, at my whim, invest their money in putting that product out on store shelves so I could just see how it performs. As an experiment, just for me. Maybe one day.
Last but not least, at least for me, I don't know if you know anything about this game, if you looked at it at all. It looks really... I've followed it for a while. Trine is finally seeing the light of day on PS Network.
Yeah. I played it.
It was released back... did you on PC?
I beat it.
Yeah?
It's good.
Yeah. I didn't play it on PC.
Fucking good.
At least a European release. I meant to check this morning before I left for work to see if it was on the American PSN.
It came out
today in Europe on PSN.
Oh.
But it was not made clear whether or not the North American release was also today, but I did not. I forgot to check. It's just interesting because that game has been long awaited by a lot of people, and it looks awesome. And I'm excited to play it when it finally comes out.
I want it on XBLA.
I do too for achievements, but if I have to play it on PS3, I will.
Why don't you play it on PC?
I don't like playing games on PC.
You know what's really weird? Do you know, have you watched videos on it?
No. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, it's a lie, I have.
I'm kind of interested to see how it's going to work with a controller, and I think a lot of people are.
I was interested to see how the wizard would work with a...
The wizard, that is true. Also, something that's not quite apparent in the videos that is a lot, it's way more readily apparent when you're actually playing the game, is the knight with his shield.
Uh-huh.
It works sort of like a twin stick. I mean, I can imagine them implementing it in a twin stick way.
Oh, yeah.
So that you drag your mouse around him.
Sure.
And he can deflect everything in arcs and arrows.
Abuse. That game Abuse. It's like that. Your mouse controlled the gun and the keyboard moved the guy.
But I really want to see what that ends up being like on an actual controller, because...
That is interesting.
It looks cool.
They might set it up like a twin stick. And then the thief's
hookshot.
Looks like it might be kind of awkward to aim properly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm really interested. Something that I know it's not on our news, but I showed it to Sean earlier today, and I just found out about it last night, and I really want to put up a video of it on our site too. That Dexter Neo.
I haven't. You sent me the link. It doesn't work for me. It didn't work for me.
Get out of here.
But if we, bye. We can put it up if I can find it and get to it.
There's a YouTube of it, I think. Or there should be.
No, I want to see it. It's that along with Raystorm got announced on the same day, and people were just like, oh, I don't care.
You haven't seen Dexter Neo?
No.
It's really bizarre looking, and I really wish you would see it.
I'll look at it after this.
For those who don't know, it's like an old PC game. Came out, DOS compatibles and Tandy. And I did some research on it last night because I had no idea what it was. It looks like it also came out on the NES, and... Yep. It looks kind of like a mix-up between a platformer and a shmup.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and it's bizarre. It actually, I don't know how to explain it, but Square Enix is making it, or publishing it, maybe both, probably both. And I think they're the ones that actually own the rights to it, obviously. So they probably don't, in my opinion, they don't own too many rights to too many games that they could exploit on the sort of arcade market. The downloadable market. Would you agree with that? Yeah. I don't know, because they really want to milk their larger RPGs for $40. You know, they add the Square tax on to a $29.99 regular game, and it's $34.99. But I got a theory that this is one of the only games that they had that somebody looked at and said, I guess we could remake this. Because that's what it looks like. It doesn't even look that fun. It looks more interesting than fun.
Yeah.
But you should definitely check that out on our site, because regardless of how it looks like it plays, aesthetically it looks really sick. And that's it.
That's it for news. That's it for the podcast. Went a little long today, but that's okay. Thanks for listening.
Right.
Do we know what we're talking about next week?
No.
ODST.
Next week we will find something to talk about for an hour. Probably Halo. I could talk about Halo and the Halo series for an hour.
Yeah. We try to do something a little editorial, but I just think that Tuesday the game drops and we're going to do nothing but play it.
I'll be playing Firefight for a good few days, so I will probably be able to find enough to talk about in Firefight, especially since I hear now that the Flood are probably included in Firefight.
That's terrible.
That's kind of interesting, man.
Not terrible from a gameplay perspective, but terrible from I hope I can survive perspective.
I'll take this chance to say I love Bungie, but the GameStop exclusive downloadable content.
Yeah.
Really is annoying. Boo. Boo.
We can bring that up next week. Actually, I
will.
Retailer specific.
Boo.
Download. Terrible.
Boo.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.